Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
Ground ball, base hit. Cubs are going to grab the lead.
Oh, my, what a day. RBIs 5 and 6 for Contreras. Come home.
The beat.
If you're able to make mental adjustment and know what you want to do on the play, you can get good success on that.
Knowing Jay for a while, I completely thought he was on full Montana mode and just chilling with his wife and kids.
On 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your Saturday. What would you call it, Harry?
I would call it your preamble to Saturday night.
Your late Saturday afternoon 3-hour sportsaganza right here on 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon, your Harry Tynowitz. Dan Long producing. Phone number 312-981-7200. You can text us there as well, 312-981-7200. Twitter at Hey Tweet Harry. There is no better except for at the Carm, which of course is your preferred Twitter destination.
Uh-huh.
If you are following along right now on Twitter and other sources like Yahoo, Jay Cutler on the verge of a one-year, $13 million deal to never go into broadcasting, and by never, I mean not this year, so that's not exactly accurate, and to go play football for the Miami Dolphins, reunited with Adam Gase, and it feels so good. Harry, I defer to you. I have Cutler thoughts, but I want to hear yours first right now on 720 WGN. Cutler as a Dolphin.
Robert Molnar is reporting the one-year deal is done, that Cutler has agreed to it.
Who is Robert Molnar?
Robert Molnar.
That doesn't sound like Adam Schefter.
No, it doesn't sound like Adam Schefter, but, you know, Adam Schefter started somewhere. There was a time when people went, who's Adam Schefter?
Was Adam Schefter once Mark Molnar, Robert Molnar?
Right. So the Dolphins lose Ryan Tannehill, the converted Texas A&M wide receiver, pretty good quarterback. They say the injury is 6 to 8 weeks with the probability that he's going to miss the entire season. Their backup is Matt Moore, or as Al Michaels would say, Matt Moore. Their third string, now fighting for second string, is David Fales. Remember David Fales?
Love David Fales.
So David Fales is the second string. So they need a quarterback. I'm shocked that they, that Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a gig. But Jay Cutler is deserving of another chance. And Jay Cutler's best season ever was with Adam Gase. He had his highest rating ever as a quarterback with Adam Gase, and it was just a couple years ago. It's the season that got Adam Gase the head coaching gig in Miami. So I think it's a very good signing. Matt Moore played the last four games of 2016 for Miami, as you know. And because Tannehill was injured, he also started the playoff game. He was 2-2 as a starter.
I actually forgot that. Thank you for reminding me. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I don't want to misresent my Matt Moore remembrances. That's good. Thank you for bringing that.
And let's honor Al Michaels. Matt Moore. So Matt Moore is a good quarterback. He wears 8, and Cutler will wear 6. And Jay Cutler, instead of being in the booth for Bears Atlanta opening day, he'll be with the Dolphins, and the Jets didn't want him. He desperately wanted to be a Jet. The Titans didn't want him to back up Mariota. He desperately wanted to be a Titan. Everything works out for a reason, unless your name is Colin Kaepernick.
Okay, and that's an interesting one. But before we get to Kaepernick,
yes,
and I have many thoughts on that, and I've done many videos. I've
just
been sitting there at fansided.com all week just doing my Colin Kaepernick videos because it does bother me, the hypocrisy of what's going on. But
yes. As
far as Cutler goes, first of all, if you remember last year, the Miami Dolphins were miserable forever, and that's why Adam Gase became their head coach. And mm-hmm. the Miami Dolphins went to the playoffs last year. So Cutler is actually he's a lot better than going to the Jets. It's a lot better.
Oh, for him?
Right.
Yeah.
He's going to a team.
He's going to start.
He's going to start on a team that won 10-6 last year. Now, they are in the same division, and they always seem to
dun,
lose
dun, dun.
With Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. So that's worth mentioning. But here's my thing on Cutty, who I was never a big fan of.
Right. You wanted him to sit. You wanted the backup to play.
I was very
Josh McCown,
I
right?
I was in on McCown, yes, and I just thought that Jay was the ultimate enigma. The same amount, I mean, he had a .500 record. He threw the exact amount of touchdowns as he did interceptions, basically. I mean, it was an exhausting process rooting for Cutty. However, Jay Cutler, I thought, deserved a shot to prove his worth outside of the dysfunction that is the Chicago Bears. So him retiring, to me, felt hollow. Like, there's clearly something left in the Cutty tank.
Let's go. We want to know what you think about it, of course. 312-981-7200. Call us, or if you're in a hurry, you could just text at us on the Zip Whip line.
Doesn't it feel better that he's getting another shot to show what's left, if he can be a winner, get away from Bears dysfunction?
I only wish they were on the Bears schedule. Let's remember when he came here that he wanted to get away from Broncos dysfunction. Oh, that dysfunction that keeps going to Super Bowls. Oh, yeah, Denver was stopping Jay from being a success. We were dancing in the street when the Bears made the deal. When Jerry Angelo made the deal to bring Cutler here, we were dancing in the street.
For the record, I was not dancing in the street. I didn't.
Oh, I was dancing in the street, man. I was doing every name a dance. I was doing it.
You were salsaing?
I was salsaing like Victor Cruz. I was doing the cha-cha. I was doing the merengue. I was doing the hora.
Did you do the Carmen that I did at Dancing with the Stars? Did you do that one? Rock step, march, march. Rock step, march, march.
No one could do that like you.
It was unbelievable.
Yes. Jay Cutler to the Dolphins. He might be the second best quarterback in that division.
Should we go through?
He might be the sixth best quarterback.
Who wants to go through the Dolphins schedule right now and just get fired up for Cutty? They open up with the Buccaneers, winnable game. Then they go to San Diego, another winnable game. Then they go to the Jets, another winnable game.
Cutler against Rivers? That's not fair. That's like boys against men.
Looking at each other in the mirror at the Jets. Then home with the Saints, another winnable game. Home with the Titans. The Dolphins
what
could
if he starts out like 4-1?
They could be 5-0. The Dolphins could be a 5-0 football team. Then they'll go to Atlanta and lose. But then they're home with the Jets, winnable.
Well, they
at Baltimore, who should be signing Colin Kaepernick. Here, let me get my Kaepernick real quick.
Right, right.
Okay, so
I'm shocked that Cutler. Well, I mean, Cutler's.
I'll wait.
Cutler was done. Cutler was going to be a broadcaster. He wife, kids, living in that Tennessee mansion, and now
you play until they rip the jersey off you.
You play to win the game.
You do play to win the game, but if you, and football's a little bit different, I get it, you're putting yourself in harm's way, and there is that thing called the rest of your life. Cutty.
How about it?
But Cutty leaving after getting injured and watching Matt Barkley and whoever else started for the Bears last year, who else did start for the Bears last year? Brian Hoyer before he broke his arm.
It was terrible.
I mean, it was just a nauseating ending to a career. I like that he's getting another shot. 312-981-7200. I'll get to Kaepernick in the next segment. Hey, Matt, welcome to WGN, pal. Thank you for calling.
Mr. Carm and Mr. Tynowitz, I await these days with bated breath.
God
whenever I hear one of you randomly pop up during the week, I have to tell you, it's a thrill. So
random.
Absolutely. Yeah, fandom, amen. I guarantee you there's some type of fan fiction out there for you. But
keyword is fiction.
Yes. all right. Look, if Jay Cutler goes out there and wants to win a game, let him do it. But if he, God help me, if that man goes to Miami? If he goes to the Dolphins, and then out of the sheerest of odds, they actually make the ball, I will be so pissed. My head will explode. I'm not kidding. I will have a heart attack.
That's a fascinating angle, Matt. If he's successful with Miami, is it the biggest condemnation of the Chicago Bears ever? Since he was here for 8 years, went to the playoffs
once,
won one playoff game. If he goes for one season in Miami with Adam Gase and they somehow make the playoffs, let's just even just say AFC championship game or whatever, win a playoff game.
If they get to the playoffs, it's a great season. They're, like you said, they're in New England's division.
New England
is chalk to win that division. They're 2-5.
You know what? I'll make it even easier. Who won the Super Bowl last year? The Patriots. They, for some reason, get to play the Patriots, and they win one game against the Patriots, I will break my TV. I will punch my TV. I am not kidding you.
Even in the regular season, you can mark them down. They play them on December the 11th at home. And when's the other one? Am I blind here? I'm here. Maybe I am. They play them very, very close together. Interesting Dolphins-Patriots schedule there. They play on November the 26th, and then they play the Broncos the next week. Miami does, and then it's back with New England again. 2 out of 3 weeks, they got the Patriots.
Matt Moore might be under center by then.
As a person, let them play football. I mean, Mark's right. You play football until they literally have to carry you off the field. It's a passion. Now, the reason why he went to Fox was because apparently nobody wanted him. But now that somebody wants him, let him play.
Right.
I don't see the problem in that.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate your call, brother. Not only do they want him, they're going to pay him $13 million. I think that's going to pay a little bit more than the old broadcasting gig.
Yeah, like Cutler wouldn't have played for eight.
He wanted starter money.
He said starter money,
are you kidding? You're going to turn down like $6 million, even though he's made.
Think of the players that play for the veterans minimum because they want to stay in the game. Now, I know he was all set up to be the number two team. Oh, that's what I want to figure out next is who moves up. Who moves up in the booth? Who is the Fox number two analyst now? Who was the number three analyst?
Can we get in there? Let's make a call. I mean, neither of us have the credentials of Cuddy, but I can. Everyone, I heard so many people say that Cutler's going to be good in the booth. I vehemently disagree. But I think it'll be just because it's him, it'll be entertaining. But I don't think he'll be good in the booth. I don't think he'll care.
So there's two questions for Bears fans. A, do you think Jay Cutler will succeed as quarterback of the Miami Dolphins? And B, are you cheering for him to succeed?
The Bears,
whatever, this is like a trade. Whatever happens, the Bears absolutely had to get rid of him. The Bears needed to get rid of him. Mike Lennon's going to start this year, and Trubisky is the future. So I whatever he does, I don't care.
I agree with that. There was no way you were bringing him back. But I'm glad that he landed somewhere, and we'll see.
By the way, none of this is confirmed yet, though, except for that one source that you found.
Right. Harry's got Keep a source. What's his name again?
Right. His name is Robert Molinar, and Robert Molinar is on Yahoo Sports saying that the Dolphins have agreed to sign former Bears quarterback Jay Cutler to a one-year, $13 million contract.
I mean, I'm on Adam Schefter's feed here. I don't see it. There's a fake Adam Schefter that's got 15,500 followers.
How's
that
make
is double
feel?
The followers for Adam Carr, for At The Carm. This guy's not even real, and he's got 15,500. It makes me feel terrible, Harry. It makes me feel terrible. Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia. By the way, the Cubs are winning 7-3 over the Nats, top of the eighth. We'll keep you up to date on that and do our Cubs post game after it's over. Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Little Jay Cutty / Colin Kaepernick talk coming right back. 720 WGN.
Knowing Jay for a while, I completely thought he was on full Montana mode and just chilling with his wife and kids. But, you know, nothing would surprise me. Obviously, being with Gase here and having relative success and a good relationship there, you never know. I don't know anything about it. I just read about it today and thought it was pretty funny as well.
There is definitely a comfort level for Jay Cutler with Adam Gase and nobody else who ever coached him with the Chicago Bears. 312-981-7200.
Tell Tice to...
What? Say that again?
Remember when they caught him on Monday Night Football? He said, tell Tice to...
Oh, right, exactly. That was Kyle Long, by the way, out at the Bears Family Day Fun Practice. Patrick Finley from the Chicago Sun-Times will join us if you want to mark that down on your calendar at 6:35 tonight. We'll talk a little Bears with Pat Finley. All right. Let me read you the list, Harry. Are you ready for the list?
I love lists.
Okay. You let me know when you know what this list is. Okay. Mike Glennon.
Bears quarterback.
Not correct. Brian Hoyer. Nick Foles. Josh McCown.
Bears quarterbacks other than Jay Cutler.
Landry Jones. Matt Barkley.
Ooh.
Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith.
Bears quarterbacks that have thrown less interceptions. Geno Smith wasn't a Bears quarterback.
You ever heard of Josh Johnson?
Yeah, Tampa Bay.
Now a Giant. How about E.J. Manuel?
Sure, E.J. Manuel, Buffalo Bill.
Now a Raider. Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore saw him play for the Cowboys the other night out of Boise State.
Still with the Cowboys.
Still wearing 17.
Aaron Murray.
Got to do Al Michaels. Kellen Moore.
Let me keep on going. Aaron Murray, Chase Daniel, Case Keenum, David Fales, T.J. Yates. Let me stop me when you get to anybody who's any good. Matt McGloin.
Guys with higher quarterback ratings than color.
Matt McGloin, Blaine Gabbert, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Austin Davis. Those are the quarterbacks that have been signed this offseason ahead of Colin Kaepernick, who cannot get a job, yet there are people out there who, for whatever reason, will not at least at the bare minimum acknowledge that he is being blackballed out of the NFL for kneeling last year.
Can you get a different expression than blackballed?
I know that makes you uncomfortable. What would you like me to say? Has been banned from the NFL.
No, I think blackballed is actually perfect. Colin Kaepernick, he wasn't trying to do anything other than start a conversation, and that's what he's done. Now, he's made some comments since then that aren't the smartest thing in the world. But Colin Kaepernick's season, and recall, he wasn't the starter. Blaine Gabbert was the starter. Colin Kaepernick's season was very good for a very bad team.
16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
And he can run.
He was voted the best teammate by his San Francisco 49er teammates, exhibiting courage. He's raised close to $1 million for those who are less fortunate. He is the news this week is why he's back in the news is that the Baltimore Ravens, because Joe Flacco was going to miss some time, were quote unquote considering signing Colin Kaepernick. Supposedly, John Harbaugh, head coach, brother of Jim Harbaugh, who coached him in San Francisco, knows Cap well, wanted to do it. General manager Ozzie Newsome wanted to do it. Owner Steve Bisciotti did not want to do it or wasn't sure, and then he had a fan forum and he asked the fans to quote pray for him and the Ravens as they make their decision on Kaepernick, and he's wondering about sponsors and he's wondering about the fans, and I'm wondering, you know, I did a little work on Steve Bisciotti. Do you know how much money Steve Bisciotti is worth?
Oh yes, gobs and gobs.
Gobs and gobs. $3.8 billion according to Forbes and whatever I read. $3.8 billion.
I wonder where that ranks him amongst NFL owners.
Yeah, probably at the bottom, but whatever. The point is that, are you kidding me? You're worth $3.8 billion. You're worried about some sponsor or some fan who might give up his season tickets because you signed Kaepernick? Come on, man. Take a stance one way or the other. If you and the people that do not want Kaepernick, Harry, to be on a roster, let's just say that and Kaepernick has said that this year he will stand for the anthem. I mean, if you're one of the people who says what he did was dead wrong, that he was wrong and he should be punished for it, okay, what is the proper punishment? Should he not be allowed to work ever again? Should he have to sit out, I don't know, three seasons? What's the proper punishment here?
The league hasn't banned him. These are the 32 individual teams. Nobody has deemed him worth signing. And, boy, Baltimore, if there were ever a city that you would think would be aware of, like, connecting, to African-Americans, connecting to black people, it would be Baltimore. Well, going back to MLK, being assassinated. And remember when the Sox and the Orioles played to nobody?
The Ravens? Who's the face of the Baltimore Ravens when they won the Super Bowl?
Ray.
Ray Lewis is the face of the Ravens, correct? Ray Lewis pleaded guilty to obstructing justice on a double murder. And he
saw a guy stab another human.
Right.
He saw a guy stab a guy to death.
They were willing to have him on the roster. They also signed, hang on a second, I got it somewhere here. They also signed a wide receiver after he had been convicted for manslaughter for a year. Hang on, I'll pull it up. I have it. Give me a second. I have it here. Regardless, they have a history. They have a history of
the Bears have signed a lot of receivers that kill their fans.
Right. Well, and listen, I don't. In the case of Ray Lewis, that's a different story. But like organizations that are willing to give guys second chances, who have paid their debt to society, like a Michael Vick or somebody like that, I don't have a huge problem with that. Michael Vick, what he did was terrible, but he went to prison, and the guy should be able to work. In the case, if you're that franchise willing to do it, and even if you think that Kaepernick was dead wrong for what he did, does he not deserve the opportunity to step back up?
Well, no one believes more in second chances than I do. So after news, let's continue with Kaepernick and Cutler. You know, quarterbacks in the news, man. And Bears fans, you know, what do you think? Are you cheering for Jay if he signs with the Dolphins? If this report is true, you cheering for Jay? Do you think he's going to be successful? And where do you stand on Colin Kaepernick?
312-981-7200. You want to jump in on Cap? Would you want him on the Bears? Would you give up your Bears fandom?
Backpedaling away from pressure. Fumble! Ball's loose! Who's got it? I think the Bears recovered it. Jason Pierre-Paul came in with the sack and forced fumble, but the Bears got it back. It's a second and 29 for Chicago. He's pressured again. He steps, he fires. Intercepted! It is Landon Collins for the fourth straight game.
That was Jay Cutler's last game as a Bear to the New York Giants. They lost 22-16. Is that right, Dan Long?
Bears.
This is 720 WGN. The guy that I couldn't think of, Dante Stallworth.
He was driving in Miami and he hit somebody, killed a guy,
right.
And ended up gave the family millions of dollars.
The Ravens then signed him, and they're unwilling to sign Colin Kaepernick. Now, the Dolphins, a lot of people, like Twitter is exploding like you're signing Cutler over Kaepernick. Jay Cutler's a better quarterback than Colin Kaepernick. I got no problem with
that. I agree.
I don't see that at all. And, you know, but when Chase Daniel and Aaron Murray and Kellen Moore and E.J. Manuel.
You're talking about backups there. Matt McGloin was backing up Carr with the Raiders.
Which gets you to the ultimate point here with Cap. Because I've heard a lot of people say things like, if he was good enough, he'd be in the league.
That's a bunch of crap.
Right. Well, so here's what it is. And I think we all know this, and you have this in any job where you work or whatever. There are certain things that I could do at this radio station and would get fired for that Steve Cochran or Roe Conn or whoever wouldn't. I don't have I don't have that level. And if you're LeBron James, or if you were Tom Brady, or if you were Russell Wilson, you could do what Cap did. But Cap is a very good backup and a borderline starter. So he can't. Now, he should be in the league. He's one of the top 60 quarterbacks.
Took a team to the Super Bowl.
But you have to be elite. Like when the NBA guys stood up at the ESPYs to, you know, try to show some form of unity for what's been going on in the world with police brutality and other injustices. It was Dwayne Wade, it was LeBron James, it was Carmelo Anthony, and it was Chris Paul. They're not kicking those dudes out of the league. And by the way, the NBA also has guaranteed contracts, so there's that. So Kaepernick is just—he's not in that position. And there's been lots of guys who haven't been in that spot. Who Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Craig Hodges. I mean, those level guys, they don't have the security. I mean, Craig Hodges did nothing. He wore a dashiki to the White House.
Right. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, formerly known as Chris Jackson, refused to stand for the national anthem because of religious beliefs. Colin Kaepernick obviously did it because he was, you know, disgusted. He's disgusted by what all the terrible, terrible injustice done by cops towards black people. And again, you know, you can't indict all cops. The majority of cops are awesome. Chicago police are awesome.
Right, and that's when he wore the socks with the pigs on there. That was incredibly stupid.
He's done said some stupid things.
And his stuff on Fidel Castro, where he equated Malcolm X to Fidel Castro, was incredibly stupid and uninformed and all of it.
Right, ignorant.
Completely ignorant. True, all true. But again, like I don't think the guy should be banned from the NFL because NFL owners who are gazillionaires are worried about sponsors. That's off to me.
Right. You know, Ray Lewis has said it. Other people have said it. There's a criminal in every huddle in the NFL. Okay, now I don't think it's true to say literally there's a criminal in every NFL huddle, but I think you can look around the league and see a bunch of people that have committed felonies that get signed. You know, the Bears had something like that happen recently with them. And it's very un-Bear-like. And that guy was only a member of the Bears for a couple of seconds before they did a 180.
Ray McDonald, you're talking about?
Yes, exactly what I'm talking about. If you look at Colin Kaepernick, he did nothing illegal. He did not violate any law. He did not beat anybody up. He did not steal anything. He did not do drugs.
He donated millions of dollars.
And there are many members of the military that are saying they're okay with him not standing for the national anthem because he's starting a conversation.
Veterans for Kaepernick. I think the thing with the NFL that I think they're most terrified by is that he started a movement. Every week last year on Monday morning, there was a report on Monday Morning Quarterback or Pro Football Talk. These are the guys that knelt with Cap. And there was, you know, a list 15, 20 long every week. And so people were following him. The NFL did not like that, I'm sure. They were in a very odd position of having to support it, but, you know, at the same time say that, hey, we want our players standing for the anthem, which the players should stand for the anthem, period.
How about what Terrell Davis did at the Hall of Fame ceremonies this weekend in Canton, Ohio? Terrell Davis, TD, who was a great running back for the Broncos, part of their two Super Bowl championships, along with, of course, Howard Griffith from the University of Illinois, and John Elway.
Love a Howard Griffith mention.
TD said, let's be honest, all of us ex-NFL players are scared to death about the CTE problems.
Right.
He doesn't know what is going to happen. There's been so many guys that have taken their own lives because they'd rather do that than deal with the effects of, you know, the CTE. And I wonder what the NFL is going to say to that. You know, they have not gone out of there. You know, they've done studies, but I mean, there has been so much research done that has, and I don't know if I believe the latest that 110 out of 111 cases show that there's been CTE studies, like 99.9% of the people that they've analyzed. But, you know, Kaepernick, to me, voiced an opinion.
He spoke for a ton of people.
Right. Without talking, he demonstrated.
Listen, when the advancement in technology, when people can have their phones and see what's going on and seeing terrible things like Eric Garner in New York and Tariq Rice, there's a long, long list of just really ugly stuff out there that we now see because everybody's sitting there as a news reporter with their phone. So, I mean, and then Colin Kaepernick was one of those people that, you know, felt like, okay, I'm going to use my platform and put my career on the line. And by the way, he's been criticized by African Americans.
Oh, yeah.
He's been criticized by white people. He's getting it from all sides. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in here. I love this stuff from the 708 on the text line. If Kaepernick was any good, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, that qualifies as quote-unquote any good, but loved this country, maybe he does, just wants to make it better, didn't show his hatred toward cops, some team would have signed him by now. Besides that, he's not very good, right, fellas?
I don't think he has hatred towards cops. He is trying to minimize what has happened way too much. He is not anti-police. He is just saying that this is ridiculous how many shootings there have been, how many deaths there have been, and there needs to be a conversation started. He wasn't telling people go attack a cop. He wasn't telling people go to the police station. He was saying, hey, I'm going to take a knee because what's going on here is god-awful.
Agreed. 262 text line. As you said, there are other players playing in the NFL who have crimes in their past, and teams don't seem to have any problem letting them play. Give Kaepernick a chance to redeem himself. As far as Jay, as in Cutler, we were talking about that. If you're just joining the show, Jay Cutler apparently going to be a Miami Dolphin. Give him the chance to show if he really has it, and then go Packers. If there's one organization that loves Jay Cutler, it is the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, and again, on Yahoo Sports, there's a gentleman named Robert Molinar who is reporting that Cutler and the Dolphins have agreed to Cutler signing a one-year, $13 million deal. We will try to confirm that for you, but this Robert Molinar on Yahoo is saying that it is a signed that they're going to sign the deal. And of course, Adam Gase was here with the Bears as the OC, and Cutler had his best season for him.
Adam Schefter has not reported it. Ian Rappaport, who's not as good as Adam Schefter, has not.
Ian Rappaport's solid. The rap sheet?
He's okay.
Oh, he's pretty solid.
I think he makes stuff up. Jay Glazer at...
Boy. Jay Glazer is great because not only does he get great information, he works out with these people, and he appears regularly on Ballers.
Jay Glazer has not reported it.
You a fan of Ballers?
I do like Ballers, yes. And I like and Jay Glazer's entertaining.
Do you know who the number one movie star is? I'm going to tie this in. You know who the number one movie star in America is in terms of money made at the box office?
No.
Well, I'm talking about Ballers. The Rock.
Oh, is that right?
Yep, The Rock.
I don't want to throw a little crank in the whole thing here,
mm-hmm.
but there is a piece by Jeff Darlington of ESPN.com, 4:15 p.m. Central, which is a
half hour ago.
Yeah. Jay Cutler is leaning towards staying in broadcasting and not joining the Miami Dolphins, according to Jeff Darlington.
Ooh.
Although Cutler became intrigued by the possibility of reuniting with Dolphins coach Adam Gase in the immediate wake of Ryan Tannehill's knee injury, his continued contemplation is swaying him back in the direction of staying retired, sources told ESPN. Tannehill suffered a left knee injury, da-da-da-da. Until Saturday, Cutler had been in direct contact with Gase, giving a clear sense of his interest in playing for him. The more Cutler considers it, however, the more he questions whether return to football is what he wants. One source told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Cutler is really struggling with leaving his family. So what's this guy's name again over here?
Robert Molinar.
Robert Molinar. Molinar's career is on the line here. Molinar might be going down. Because when I'm hearing that Schefter's not tweeting about it, and then Schefter's finding out that Cutty's having really struggling with leaving his family...
Who just broke the story? The story last week. I don't even know if I can say it on WGN.
Wet Butt 23.
It was
one of them.
Yeah, Wet Butt 23 was one of them. What was the story again?
It's the Jose Quintana trade.
The first two people to have the Jose Quintana trade were Wet Butt 23 and Katy Perry's something.
Should Tannehill need surgery, Gase could go into a more passionate sales pitch mode to pull Cutler back into the mix. Barring such a scenario, the Dolphins will likely need to start looking in a different place or settle on backup Matt Moore. Our whole show might be blown up right now.
Why is that?
Did we say that Cutler was a Dolphin? Is the FCC going to come after us?
I said Robert Molinar is reporting that Jay Cutler has, which is accurate. Right here, Robert, here's the story. Go to Yahoo Sports. Robert Molinar has a story up saying that... that Jay Cutler and the Dolphins have agreed for Cutler to sign a one-year, $13 million contract.
312-981-7200. Should Carmen and Tynowitz be fired for trusting Robert Mueller?
I'm not even hired here. I'm not even hired. How can I be fired from...
You're sitting in this seat. You're hired. I just hired you. I don't have that power, but I've hired you. Should we be fired for trusting Robert Molnar, who no one's ever heard of, over Schefter... Rappaport and Glazer.
Carm, this is the world we live in. Wet Butt 23 was the first person to have the Quintana story.
That's true.
Okay, now
it's so hard for us in media. You don't know who to trust. Wet Butt 23's got it. No one else has it. Robert Molnar has it, but now Darlington over at ESPN is saying it's not true, and Schefter's citing family concerns. I don't know what to believe. 312-981-7200.
Okay, if Cutler doesn't sign with the Dolphins, they have to sign Colin Kaepernick?
I don't think... Okay, the Dolphins are a real interesting one.
Because right now, David Fales... Right now, you're one Matt Moore hit away from David Fales being your starting quarterback.
You would think that Kaepernick would be a very logical conclusion if Cutler decides to stay with Kristen and the family and continuing to show off his bear...
Kristen Cavallari. I thought we were all done talking about her.
I mean... My highlight of the football offseason probably was the Cutler butt shot on the beach staring out at the old Atlantic Ocean or whatever he was looking at. I mean, that was amazing. Cavallari feeling the need to take a picture of Jay's bare butt and just tweet it out. That was incredible. That was truly incredible.
It's one thing to take the picture, but it's another thing to tweet.
She
it
wanted
out.
To go insta. I mean, it looks the ESPN body issue is showing that, and probably just to drop more. All right, we can move on here. 312-981-7200. There is one really progressive thing the NFL did this week that I want to give props to coming on back here, Harry.
Okay.
It's very exciting, and hopefully it'll come to the state at some time, too. All right.
So T.J. Yates of the Texans and David Fales, former Bear, are battling out now to be the backup quarterback.
Right. Perhaps. Well, Kaepernick's thing with Miami is the Fidel Castro comments that he made. Very
not going to play well.
Very sensitive down there.
Think about what
extremely sensitive.
Ozzie Guillen got into trouble down there.
Right. So, all right, quick timeout, 720 WGN. It's 720 WGN. He's Harry Tynowitz at Hey Tweet Harry on Twitter. And I am at the Carm, as you know, because you just know that your life has been made better by following me on Twitter at the Carm. Yours truly, Mark Carmen, Dan Long producing, 312-981-7200. All right, so here's the progressive moment here, mm-hmm, Harry, that's going mm-hmm. on. It revolves the old wacky tobacco, the old marijuana.
Yep.
Roger Goodell, back in April of this year,
right,
which ain't that long ago, Roger Goodell, marijuana, it might not be healthy for the players long term. Listen, you're ingest. I mean, the hypocrisy is incredible, right?
Out of touch.
Listen, you're ingesting smoke, so that's not usually a very positive thing that people would say. It does have it does have addictive nature. There are a lot of compounds in marijuana that may not be healthy for the players long term. Roger Goodell. This week, as things move quickly in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roger Goodell. We will look at it from a medical standpoint. So if people feel that it has a medical benefit, the medical advisors have to tell you that. We have joint advisors. We also have independent advisors. Both the NFLPA and the NFL will sit down and talk about that. But we've been studying that through our advisors. To date, they haven't said this is a change we think we should make, that's in the best interest of the health and safety of our players. If they do, we're certainly going to consider that. So there is going to be a meeting. There is going to be a meeting. NFL officials have reached out to the NFL Players Association, hoping to work with the union on its study of marijuana as a potential pain management drug. The Washington Post reported that earlier this week on Tuesday. So, I don't know why this makes me happy, but it does. And NFL players who are putting their body into a car crash every single week, if they want to smoke weed, I've got no problem with it. I don't know where you come out on this, Harry, but I'm thinking we're in agreement.
Oh, we are. And let's also make this clear. There are 29 states now, 29 states, I just double-checked, and D.C., that have legalized marijuana.
Is that right, 29, or is that medical use? Is that medical use?
Medical marijuana.
Medical marijuana, right.
So, I mean, okay. There's 20. I mean, so so Roger Goodell is saying if we get proof, if we get some word that pot could be helpful in covering, in you know, helping people that are hurting, well, there's 29 states that are telling you that it is.
29 states is more than 28 and more than 25 and more than there was 6 months ago. So it continues to go. By the way, the Cubs just beat the Nationals 7-4.
Yeah.
We will. That stops.
Baseball time is here again.
Stops the bleeding. 3-game losing streak over. We'll talk Cubs right in. We'll do our Cubs postgame show right after the 5 o'clock news. But let's finish up our marijuana conversation.
Yeah, no, I think pot should be legal. I've had guys in the league tell me that they hurt so much after a game and they should be able to smoke. I'm sure that certain guys will abuse it, but you know what? They're, like you said, they're in a car crash every hike.
And if you go back in time, Harry, I know you probably remember this better than I do, but there was a great center who had massive problems with his feet by the name of Bill Walton. And he was playing for the Portland Trailblazers, and he used to blaze up, apparently, after every game. And Jack Ramsey was the coach back then. And Ramsey came to him to talk about weed, and he's like, "Coach, I need marijuana. I'm going to smoke it after games. Hope that's not a problem." And Jack was like, "Okay, Bill, you do what you need to do, buddy, and just play good hoops for us." So, I mean, this has been, a lot of guys have either A, managed pain, or B, relaxed, or whatever, with marijuana playing sports for a long time. We all know this, and it's 2017. I would think we would have, if I was the commissioner of the NFL or MMA or the UFC or anything that was new and trendy and had some pull, the new Chicago Dogs of the Independent League, I would not test for marijuana.
Go Dogs, go.
I would not care. So that the fact that the NFL is slightly getting with the times. I mean, they did two things this offseason. Number one, they're allowing celebrations to occur, which they haven't in the past. They drew an actual complete line on it. So, you know, before you would get penalized and the fans didn't want that. They listened to the fans. And now they're listening to their players. I think that makes the NFL more likable. And the NFL has had a little bit of a likability issue for a while now. People don't like Roger Goodell. He gets booed wherever he goes.
Right. Nate Newton got busted, Dallas Cowboys guard, you know, with 175 pounds of marijuana.
That's a different story. If you're going to be a dealer, now we got an issue.
Right. Well, the Sam Hurd from the Bears
right.
wanted to be a dealer. But, you know, I mean, I don't believe there's anything wrong with letting NFL guys that are hurting smoke pot to alleviate the pain.
And even if they're not hurting, who cares? Just come on. Now, if they're going out, and they're getting DUIs, or, I mean, there's a lot of studies about marijuana and driving and whether or not it actually causes problems or not. It's more accidents in states like Colorado where it's legal. The data on that is very unclear. But just as a person who has at least a remote knowledge of both alcohol and back in the day, go University of Iowa. The wacky tobacco, like there's no question which is more dangerous. I mean, alcohol is, I would say, 10 times as dangerous. And so it just, the whole law on weed is just, it's backwards. Hey, Robert, welcome to WGN. Welcome to you, sir.
Yeah, you know, I got to agree with you on weed. You know, I mean, I would, you know, if you have a choice between a guy who's completely drunk and a guy who's completely stoned, I'm going to get in the stoner's car.
Right.
Because he's not,
yeah.
he's going to be picking the flowers off of the window that don't exist, and he's going to be melted inside of his car, and he's never even going to be able to put the keys in the car. But the drunk is going to go, I'm Superman.
Right.
You know, so. But as far as weed goes, I've been in sports my whole life, and, you know, I got stoned to the bone when I was in the 70s.
Sure.
But, go Robert.
But now that my knees hurt, my back hurts, if I get high now and I only have to do a few hits, I hurt more.
Interesting.
So,
interesting.
I mean,
I've never heard of that.
Oh, absolutely. Now again, I have a friend and he had cancer and he had to do chemo and weed helped him immensely with the aftermath. But again, I mean, and again, see, I have friends that grow weed up in California, up above San Francisco. And if you there are people who really, there is a science to it, you know, and there is a science. But if you just go out and buy the average crap or whatever you do, you know, again, that's just me. But if you're stoned to the bone, you're not going to feel anything anyhow.
Robert, we're up against the news here, but I will remember at the end of the day, stoned, what'd you say, to the bone? Stoned to the bone?
Stoned to the bone. You're not going to remember anything anyhow.
Yeah. Appreciate right, you, Robert.
Great job.
Thank you. Stoned to the bone, Harry. You all right over there?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to remember the player who got busted for driving from Pittsburgh to Dallas with, like, a ton of pot in the back of his trunk.
Not Robert Parrish?
No, it's a football player. I mean, I'm all over the internet here, I'm seeing so many. Bam Morris, Rolando McClain, Trayvon Boykin, who's back up to Russell Wilson now in Seattle. Dwayne Bowe. You know, there's so many guys that get busted with pot. I think the NFL has to allow it. You know, I don't see the problem with it.
Cubs post coming up right after the 5 o'clock news.
Deep to center. Good one back, and it's gone! Alex first homer as a Chicago Cub.
Attaboy, Alex, number 12.
You're listening to The Beat on 720 WGN.
Indeed it was. Alex Avila, one of your newest Cubs, playing better than Justin Wilson, who gives up a run every time he comes in right now.
Give Justin Wilson a break. Alex Avila looks good. He crushed that pitch to center, and it made the basket for his first Cubby homer.
Credit to Len Casper for actually finding out that Alex Avila is Alex Avila. Yeah, nobody knew that until Casper went and asked him. So I think that was a big contribution to Avila, Cubs fans, and baseball as a whole. Thank you, Len Casper.
Still drives me crazy that people call Urlacher Urlacher. The guy was like the star of the team for a decade. Brian Urlacher. Rhymes with linebacker. That's his name. We asked him, Urlacher.
You sure it's not Urlacher?
I'm positive. Drives me nuts.
Okay. Well, we've got it right with Alex Avila. And I'd like to make mention that I find it fascinating that he was traded here by his father. Hey, son, no longer need your services. Get out of town. By the way, I didn't sign you last year either. Brought you back, but trading you again. See you later, son. I mean, can you imagine what that's like? You've got, hey, mom, dad just traded me. Hey, grandma, you won't be able to watch.
Grandma was really upset.
The grandma was pissed.
Because she... Alex Avila's mom didn't want to see her grandchildren move.
Right. And so Al Avila's the general manager of the Tigers. He traded his son, which I think is just fascinating.
Well, it's a big favor for him. You get to go be on a playoff team. You get to be on the defending World Series champion who have a great chance of going back to the World Series. Or you could stay in Detroit.
Yeah, with your dad and living the dream of being family. Family first, Harry.
I asked my dad how many times he thought about trading us. He goes, a few times.
I mean, would you trade Reggie or Lucy for a Tynowitz to be named later?
I have thought about it on occasion. There's not a parent in the world that hasn't thought about it on occasion. But, you know, you're a general manager. You know, you got to do what's right for your team.
Alex, they're offering Jaime Candelario. He can't really play, but maybe he's got a shot. He's only 23. You're old and having a career year, and you might actually help the Cubs.
And you can come right back here.
And, yeah, by the way, you can come back. So just go down there. Hopefully you can get in the playoffs and shock the Washington Nationals and take on the Dodgers, all that. By the way, 312-981-7200, what's the toughest thing you've ever done to your kid? Who's fired their kid? I'd love to hear it.
Good question, Carm.
Have you ever fired your kid?
What's the toughest thing you've done?
And toughest thing you've done, period. Back to the Cubs.
Yes. Cubs are awesome, and boy, I'll tell you, John Lackey, he doesn't dominate, but he pitches well enough to win. He's had a string of very good outings. I know he hit three guys in one inning with the White Sox, but you got to give credit to John Lackey for getting the W flag in the air.
And Lackey does get the win today. Five big innings of work from John Lackey. Six hits, three runs. Two of those were in, struck out three. Gave up a home run to Bryce Harper.
Oh, man, that should count for two homers.
He's 9-9 on the year. I mean, John Lackey gets a lot of hate. And he's not great, but as a fifth starter, you could do worse. So, Dunsing with an inning, struck out two. He's been underrated all season long.
He's been good.
He's been very good.
And suddenly the Cubs have three lefties in the bullpen.
Pedro Strop, good again. An inning, walked one, struck out two. Mm-hmm. Strop's ERA is 2.41. And then you had Justin Wilson come on, do his act, one hit, one run, a walk. The run came in on a poor throw from Javi Baez, turning a double play ball. So it was earned, but he could have gotten out of the inning. And then there was Wade Davis again, 23-for-23, despite giving up the home run earlier this week, but that was a non-save situation. So he's still perfect in save opportunities.
Paul Goldschmidt is so great. If Paul Goldschmidt played for the Mets, the Red Sox, the Yankees, Paul Goldschmidt would be just, Aaron Judge. Giancarlo Stanton does a pretty good job of getting noticed down in Miami, but same thing with him. All right, so for the Cubs, Addison Russell goes on the 10-day DL.
Yeah.
And even though Addison Russell's been hitting the ball well, I think that this is an opportunity for the Cubs because I believe Javi Baez is the best defensive infielder in baseball. You move him to short, and you have a couple of different options you can play at second. Addison Russell, nothing against him, but you know this is where you see how great Theo and Jed have amassed depth with the Cubs.
Do you believe that it's actually a foot injury? Because he's had trouble throwing the ball. He one hopped a ball that basically cost the Cubs a game earlier this week. He's been on and off missing time with that shoulder. I'm hoping that he has, from my standpoint, except for that one throw, he's been looking a lot better to me throwing the baseball.
He had a couple throws this week that were surprisingly not
weak.
Okay, Anthony Rizzo, you know, spoils us. We're so used to him coming up with the bad throw.
Rough week for Riz, though, picking the baseball.
Right, and there was also a play in the Wednesday night loss to the Diamondbacks when a guy crushed a line drive down the first base line, and I thought Rizzo would, you know, grab it, and, you know, he looked like he hesitated or something.
He made an incredible play going to his right yesterday that kept a potential big inning. He thwarted it. That's what Anthony Rizzo did.
Anthony Rizzo had an if he didn't make an error today, the streak is at 89. He had an 88 game errorless streak coming into the contest today. He is probably the best defensive first baseman in baseball. You know you're good when they're changing rules for you. In his last two seasons, he jumped on the wall and he jumped on the tarp to catch foul balls against the Brewers. No one does that. Riz is great. Now, I was spoiled by Mark Grace. I still consider Mark Grace to be a better defensive first baseman at picking bad throws.
Grace was a great defensive first baseman.
How many errors do you think Grace saved Sean Dunstan?
About 1,000.
About 1,000, right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're pretty spoiled by that. But I think the Cubs are in great shape. Now with this victory, they're two games ahead of the Brewers. The Brewers game started 4 minutes ago. Hopefully the Brewers will lose in Tampa.
One game up, Harry, one game. They were as a half going in.
Okay, so thank you.
Yeah.
One game up, Brewers are playing. They started at 5:10 in Tampa.
No score, top of one.
Okay.
Just underway.
Go Rays.
Go Rays. The one that we're not talking about right now that we should be is Wilson Contreras.
He's great. Number 19 today. He had his 19th tater.
I mean, Wilson Contreras, let me just give you a little stash here or there on good old Wilson.
Yeah, we can take our time here and talk about everybody. Cubs post game, Cubs won. Join the fun.
312-981-7200. Are you feeling the back to back? Bottom line, Wilson Contreras. How many more runs do you think Wilson Contreras has driven in for the Cubs than any other Cubs since the All-Star break?
7.
13 more runs.
Woo!
Than any other Cubs since the break. He has 27 RBIs, which is tied with Nolan Arenado for the most since the break. All right. How about this one?
He started out in Baltimore just hitting bombs at Camden Yards.
He was incredible on, what was the two home run game? Was that was Thursday in the 10-8 loss to the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
He hits two home runs. One of them coming off Zach Greinke. He's
both
came off Greinke?
Both came off Greinke.
My bad. Okay. Both off Greinke. It was curious in the ninth inning, down two runs with a runner on, that he goes to bunt, which was, you know, you don't bunt when you've hit two bombs, but whatever, I get it. He was trying to get on and set it up for the lefties coming up after him. That was curious. Among Venezuelan-born players,
yes,
Wilson Contreras is one home run behind Miguel Cabrera for the most through 175 games in the league. Think about that.
That's a devastating. Miguel Cabrera, I don't even want to think about Miguel Cabrera as a young player. Please, don't. Why would you bring that up?
Well, okay, now you're back in 03 with
yeah.
The Marlins and him hitting bombs, but it's related to Wilson Contreras. He has 31 homers in 174 games. He's got 103 RBIs, which are third behind Cabrera and Victor Martinez. This guy plays catcher. He is elite.
He's so good as a catcher.
He is adorable. He is flat out adorable.
He stops balls that would get past other catchers, and he ends up with a great deal of them in his glove, which is a big deal because then he can transfer it and throw a guy out. He's also great at framing the pitch.
He's getting better at that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got he might be on that Molina family tree somewhere.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Molina, because when I'm watching Wilson Contreras right now, that's who I'm thinking of. Like, Yadi was the face and the leader and the emotional spark plug of the Cardinals for well over a decade now. Wilson Contreras has a chance to do that. Chris Bryant is quiet. Rizzo, not so much. More out there.
Pujols was a big leader for that team.
That's true, but he's been gone for a long time now, and they didn't miss a beat when he left, which was amazing.
I would say Contreras is a co-leader, and something else we got to mention. There's a chance. Am I crazy? Contreras might be the fastest guy on this team. And I'm not usually if you say the fastest guy on your team is a catcher, you're making fun of how slow the team is, but I'm not doing that in this case.
Well, he played left field today because they wanted to get Avila in the lineup, so both catchers hit two-run homers today. And he ran down one ball in the left field corner where he had to go a pretty long way to get to.
Much better defensively than Schwarber in left.
There's another guy. Oh, wow. Do you know, who do you think leads the Cubs in strikeouts?
God, everybody. They strike out way too much.
Yeah, so who?
I mean, I love the Cubs, but they strike out way too much.
So who do you think's the leader? Your candidates are Schwarber, are Baez.
I mean, the natural reaction, I think, for any Cub fan is Javi Baez.
Right. You think it's Javi Baez.
Right.
You absolutely think that. Baez has 300 at-bats to date. Schwarber has 292. Do the math. That is 8 more at-bats for Javi.
Man, that Iowa education.
It's huge,
coming
right?
through again.
Javi Baez has 14 less strikeouts than the 104 strikeouts for Kyle Schwarber in 292 at-bats. He flat out is getting beat on the fastball over and over and over again, and he's expanding the zone, and he's hitting 192, and everybody loves Kyle Schwarber, and I'm rooting for Kyle Schwarber, but Kyle Schwarber right now at this particular time is not good at the game of baseball.
I'm telling you, I was lucky enough to be out there again this week. Kyle Schwarber gets the third most applause, the third most cheers, the third loudest reception at the plate of any Cubs. Rizzo are first and second. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo. And then the next guy is Kyle Schwarber. People go nuts for him.
Right, and I get it.
Chicks dig the long ball.
Right. Dan Long goes nuts for Kyle Schwarber because Kyle Schwarber.
Dan Long.
They would not have won the World Series.
Agreed.
Right. And it was an incredible feat, and he came back and was all hyped, and there he was out of nowhere, DHing and getting a hit in the 10th inning in Game 7, and I'll always love Kyle Schwarber. Always. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you, the opinion of Schwarber right now, that Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and all of them, it's going down. It has to.
I wish that in the Jose Quintana deal that they had been able to keep Eloy Jimenez and that they had traded
Schwarber. I wouldn't have cried if it happened. If you look at Kyle Schwarber now, has had 527 career at bats. 527. He's hitting 214. So,
how many bombs? Because that's the attractive thing about him is left-handed power.
33 home runs.
So 33 home runs. That's pretty tasty.
So I mean, that's basically a full season. His first season in the big leagues, he hit 214. He had 33 homers and 79 RBIs. If you want to do it like that, he walked 82 times. He struck out 182, and his on-base percentage was 327.
So if you
want to do it like that.
Yeah, I believe that you need 502 at-bats to qualify for the batting title. So I think we can look at it exactly like that, Carm. Excellent call by you at the Carm. Kyle Schwarber, 214, but would you put up with a 214 hitter if he's going to hit 33 home runs in a season? I say yes.
You would. But the other side of it is that you also have to factor in his defense too,
which is bad. But for me, you got to factor in his teammates. Jason Hayward, who was not good offensively last year
or this year,
he's so much better. Yeah, he's so much better. Jason Hayward should be playing every day and right.
He is
okay.
Hayward's been way better. I'd get out of that contract if I could in a second.
Well, it's a massive contract, and he's here for this is the second
forever.
Of 8 years. right? So after this season, he's here for six more seasons. But he's been playing as good a defensive right field as anyone in baseball.
Plays a good defensive right field. He's hitting .247 with an on-base percentage of .304. He's got 8 home runs.
Okay, so
He had a huge home run in Milwaukee that was enormous. It won him a big game. That was
where did he make that incredible catch
in Milwaukee too on Friday night? He made an incredible catch.
Well, like that stadium for some reason has that little nook.
Oh, that was another one. That was in
Atlanta.
In
right?
Atlanta, that was a great play.
In Atlanta, he made like
he's a great defender. He's a gold glover.
Right. Okay, so I want to play Hayward every day and right. Okay, Schwarber is not catching ahead of Wilson Contreras, and now you've got Avila here as well. So he's not catching. So Kyle Schwarber to me is a left fielder, and you've got one outfield spot that's taken. Now the other outfielders, I'm playing Hap, Zobrist, John Jay, who's been a godsend. I'm playing them all ahead of Schwarber.
I don't know about Ian Happ at this point.
Don't bail on Ian Happ.
Why not?
Ian, see the catch he made. He's not a center fielder. He's an infielder. He made a great catch coming in center field. Ian Happ can hit.
Can he?
Yeah. I know he's slumping.
I mean, Ian Happ on the year right now is hitting .244.
Mm-hmm. Or as we like to say, 30 points higher than Kyle Schwarber.
Well, more than that. He's about 50 points higher than Kyle.
I thought you just said he's hitting .244. Oh,
for his career.
For his career. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
so 194. So he's hitting 50 points higher. So I'm saying I'm playing Ian Happ or Zobrist in left. Okay? Or if I'm playing Elmore in center, I'm playing John Jay in left.
John Jay to me listen, I like
what a deal.
John Jay, 1 year deal, $7 million. That was great. I would play Jay over both Schwarber and Happ. If you have to win a game right now, if that's where you're at, which is where they're at, one game up on the Brewers, and this is a huge week. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to beat the Nationals in the playoffs or the Diamondbacks if for some weird reason they end up playing Arizona, but. You know, you look at their schedule, they're going to be playing a ton of teams under .500. This is a week where you're going up against some good competition. Now, that being said, there's no way that if we face the Nationals in the playoffs, that you're going to see Edwin Jackson on the mound or even on the roster.
Right. But how nuts is that? After tomorrow, they have one more series against a team, who's like, who's got a winning record. What's Milwaukee's record as we speak?
Milwaukee's record as we speak. I got you, Harold. Don't you fret. I'm Mr. Technology over here. The Brewers are 58-53.
Okay, so Milwaukee's over .500. They still have games left with Milwaukee, but they're playing so many games against teams with under .500 records. Now, granted, anybody can get hot at any time, but boy, the Cubs are really set up for a strong second half, and the last two seasons. They've been the best second-half team. What the Dodgers are doing is goofy. The Dodgers are silly good. But I think the Cubs are set up to have a very, very strong second half with the poor record of the opponents.
You see the debut of Yu Darvish with the Dodgers?
Gave up nothing.
Yep, 6-0 win. Yeah, they got. Listen, after Washington tomorrow, hopefully they'll go 2-3 on the – or take 2 out of 3 and go 3-3 on the homestand with the Nats and – the Diamondbacks, and you've got Lester on the mound tomorrow against a guy by the name of Eric Fetty.
Oh, yeah, they love Eric Fetty.
They do?
Yeah, he's a kid from Vegas, same area where Chris Bryant and Bryce Harper are from. He's like one of their future guys. They're very big on Eric Fetty, and the Cubs catch a break. Strasburg's hurt,
right.
And Scherzer's getting pushed back. They were supposed to face Gio Gonzalez today and Scherzer tomorrow.
Paternity leave for Gonzalez.
Right. Boy, Milt Pappas would be turning over in his grave.
Why Milt Pappas?
Because I loved Milt Pappas. What a great... I've gotten to meet some of the game's greatest players, and I consider Milt Pappas to be one of the greatest guys I ever met. Just in terms of his passion for the sport. He missed graduations. He missed, He missed kids being born. He missed everything because in his day, guys didn't do that. Guys didn't leave the team to go watch their daughter or their granddaughter, be born or, graduate from high school or graduate from college. But guys do it all the time now.
It's true. They do. That's awesome.
And what if you lose by one game? And Yu Darvish was spectacular last night at Citi Field. He said, no miso soup for you.
Would have been nice if he had been a Cub, but...
No, we don't want that.
We don't?
It would have cost a gazillion dollars.
I don't think it cost him that much. I don't even think Sonny Gray cost that much.
But it would have been like, you know, giving up guys for a rent-a-player. It's a rent-a-player.
That's true.
Okay,
but Quintana, I don't think the Dodgers gave up a whole lot.
Quintana is going to be with the team for a long time.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout here. And then news. Tell me Jaime Candelaria doesn't get you Darvish.
Jaime Candelaria wasn't going to play first or third here.
I understand. So you could have gotten Yu Darvish. Instead, you got Justin Wilson.
You get Justin Wilson, who could be the closer next year. Everybody slumps. He's off to a bad start. He's had a bad few games.
That bothers me, too. Quit talking about him closing. They should sign Wade Davis. You have a ton of money. Keep Wade Davis. And don't put that on him right now. Just let him be a banana in the bunch. Quick timeout. 720 WGN. Hi. We are pleased. Harry.
Yes.
What's the greatest thing you've ever done in your life?
Oh, probably get married, have two wonderful children.
There you go. And what's the greatest
thing? And I got to see the Bears win the Super Bowl in person.
That was big.
Mm-hmm. And I got to see the Bulls win the second championship in person.
That was huge. You were there for the second title in person?
Yes, I was.
When they came back from 15 points. Where were you sitting? Why weren't we together?
Well, I was with my dad.
Yeah, and where were you sitting? Mezzanine?
We were sitting.
First balcony, second balcony?
We had very good seats, 19 rows up.
In the mezz?
No.
Box seats?
Yeah.
There's no 19 rows in the boxes at the old Chicago Stadium. I call...
The old...
Did you have folding chairs or did you have the movie chairs?
The old Chicago Stadium had 19 rows exactly in the 100 level. We were the last row of the 100 level. And I asked Dad about getting season tickets, Jordan's rookie year.
Mm.
It was great. Not only did I have a share of season tickets, but Dad paid for them.
That's amazing. All right. Well, the reason why we're talking about this, we have an inspiration in the studio today. Her name is Ava Grescher. Ava, you are, 8 years old?
Yes.
Okay, talk right into that microphone, Ava. Get nice and close. There you go. You're 8 years old, and you were honored this week by the Chicago White Sox in guaranteed rate, correct?
Correct.
And then what were you honored for?
I was honored for my community service that I've done with the Honeycomb Project, the people who nominated me. I've done lots of projects for them, and they're really fun.
What's the Honeycomb Project?
The Honeycomb Project is an organization that I work with to volunteer with my family and friends.
And what have you done as far as helping this city be a better city, Ava?
I've cleaned beaches. I've made toys for cats and animals at the Animal Cruelty Society.
How do you make that? Sounds hard. Are you part elf?
No.
How do you make toys?
Well, we just twist them and braid them. And what I did was I really just took bottle caps and made cat toys because they're kind of easy.
That's what I'm saying. Now, most 8-year-old kids, they want to play games. They want to watch TV. How come you want to go out and do all these other things that help people?
Because I like to see Chicago nice and pretty.
Can you be the mayor of Chicago?
Yes.
Is that your goal someday, to be the mayor?
Yes.
Really? All right, Ava, you already have my vote.
Rom is feeling the heat.
He is. Mom, Helen Dixon is here as well. Hi, Mom. How are you?
Hi there.
What are you most proud of with Ava here?
Oh, my gosh. I'm most proud that we get to spend time together and that she just volunteers and she thinks of it as really fun and something to do as part of every day.
It says here, Ava, that you picked up 315 pounds of litter on the beaches. Is that true?
That's true.
315 pounds? How many people were helping you?
Probably like 10.
10 of you. And you led this expedition out to the beaches?
Nope. Honeycombed it.
Honeycombed it. Okay, so you were out there. And then you baked cookies for Ronald McDonald House too?
Yes. For six children, we made banana monkey bread.
That's so great. So Honeycomb,
that's amazing.
Honeycomb mobilizes volunteers of all ages, including Ava, who's 8. Honeycomb brings the tools, staff, resources, expertise needed to make family engagement easy and impactful for nonprofit partners And I mean, this is like inspiring. I mean, are you aware that not only are you helping, but you're like making me and other people think like, well, we shouldn't be lazy. We should do something to help other people too. You're having an impact on society. Are you aware of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you done anything for homeless people?
Yes. We made blankets for them.
You made blankets for homeless
people.
You crocheted blankets. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like something that I couldn't do, and you already did it, and you're eight. What have you done for firefighters?
We have written letters to them, thank you letters for their service around Chicago, and they gave us hamburgers and chips in return.
What did you say in the letter to the firefighters?
I said, thank you, firefighters, for helping people around the United States and Chicago when there are fires happening.
That's unbelievably cool. Are the other kids that you're out there with, are they eight? Some of them are younger.
My brother younger? Is three, and he picks up garbage.
Mom, I feel like you've put some social responsibility on your children at a young age. You're doing an incredible job here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. I just feel like, well, I work in education, and I just feel like it's part of just character building is helping to develop social responsibility, and it starts at home.
Good job, Mom.
Ava,
I'm proud of you.
What was it like to be at the Sox game? Well, how cool was it to be at Guaranteed Rate Field the other day?
Oh, my gosh. It was so much fun. We had a lot of fun watching the game. The game was so much fun. It was exciting.
Did you get really
for the
good
White
seats?
Sox to win on my special day.
Yeah, so it's always exciting when the White Sox win. And did you get to meet any of the players or say hi to any of the players?
Nope.
Did you get to be on the field?
Nope.
Did you get to have hot dogs?
Yes.
There you go. They didn't get you on the field? What's going on here? Get Brooks Boyer on the horn here, Terry.
But I was on the Jumbotron.
You were on the Jumbotron? Okay.
That's awesome. So because you're doing all these great things during the summer, does that mean you don't have to do homework when school starts?
I still do.
Do you not like your homework? You don't like learning? Mom, this is important, too.
Ava, you know. Ava, in certain parts of Florida now, there's a school that's banning homework if kids agree to read more at home. Would you do that? Would you agree to read more at home if you didn't have to do any homework?
Yes.
Ava, I saw your story in the Tribune this week, and we just thought it would be great to honor you today and to say thank you for all you're doing. And I hope that you got a couple of your friends here behind you, and so obviously you're more, I think maybe, are your friends, you're getting them to join with you in what you're doing? Do they want to help out too?
Yes. What are their first names?
Their names are Ty and Mackenzie. She's Ty and she's Mackenzie.
Okay.
Ty and Mackenzie are here too.
Moving on your radio dial from left to right, we have Ty and
Ty's on
Mackenzie.
Your left. That's exactly right. Harry,
yes.
We have some work to do. Ava is dwarfing us in our efforts to help the city. She's 8 years old. You're not 8 years old. I'm not 8 years old.
Well, kudos to Honeycomb. This is a wonderful thing, the Honeycomb Project. Go online, thehoneycombproject.org. Check it out. They're engaging, they're mobilizing, they're inspiring. And Carm and I have a little something special for you guys. Ho ho!
Yay!
Yay, giant Starburst.
Harry's busting out the Starburst. Harry, would you like to talk about how much you love Starburst for just 30 seconds, please? Because you've been talking about it off air the whole show.
Well, I haven't had Starburst for like 2 years because I blew a filling on an old Starburst. So I was told stay away from Starburst. And today's like the first time I've tried one in 2 years. And they're like a reward. Starburst are so great. I particularly enjoy the pink and the orange.
I think Mom's not really happy with you and giving her the Starburst, right?
Well, brush your teeth. Brush your teeth.
It's a special day.
Brush your teeth after breakfast and brush your teeth before bed. But you know that already. You're a sharp kid.
Mm-hmm. Helen Dixon, Mom, Ava Gresser, 8 years old.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Little tribute time here, 720 WGN. Before we get to Era Parsegian, who passed away this week, 94 years old, Text line 312. Please ask Ava if she can do something about Harry's hair. What's wrong with your hair?
I don't know.
I think you have lovely hair.
Why, thank you.
708 texting in, wow, move over Wilson Contreras. Ava is my new Chicago hero. Thank you, Ava. Nice going, Mark Harry. That was very nice of you guys. Hey, I saw that story earlier this week. I just felt like if you're going out there picking up trash on beaches, writing firefighters' letters, doing stuff for the Ronald McDonald House, making blankets for homeless people, we would be remiss. We would be wrong if we did not have Ava.
You know, and I saw a kid on Fox or Fox and Friends this week who wanted to be Donald Trump. And as she was answering the questions, what do you like about Trump, you could see her dad next to her mouthing the words. Okay, like they had obviously worked on it. This young girl, 8 years old, came in here and just off the top of her head was so sincere in wanting to help out Chicago. And it was just, it's a pleasure. It is a pleasure as a parent, as a fan of parenting. It's great to see you know, a young lady like that, like Ava, come in here. And again, props to honeycomb.org and to the Chicago White Sox.
312-981-7200 as we move along here to Harry, you wanted to talk some Ara Parseghian, who of course coached at Northwestern but known mainly for his time at Notre Dame. I thought there was one cool stat where Northwestern and Notre Dame played each other seven times.
I think we would be remiss not to talk about Ara Parseghian, the great football coach who we lost this week at age 94. One of only three Notre Dame football coaches to win multiple championships. So 7 times Northwestern played Notre Dame. 3 times Notre Dame beat them. 4 times Northwestern beat the Irish.
Go Cats.
7 times Ara Parseghian won.
That's incredible.
It's just Ara. In 11 years at Notre Dame, 9 times Ara had the program in the top 10, 7 times in the top 5. And his, you know, he's the guy that like fought to get Notre Dame back into bowl games. You know, the school's like, oh, we're Notre Dame, we don't go to bowl games. He goes, no, the kids need to go to bowl games. The fans deserve to go to bowl games. And the most, I mean, Northwestern's greatest success was under Ara Parseghian. And Coach Fitz, you know, will tell you that. And Coach Fitz, his team looks great. We're going to talk with Tommy Doles, Northwestern starting guard, hopefully, here in a little bit. We also want to talk about Lollapalooza in a little bit.
You going, Harry?
I'm getting too old to go for Lollapalooza, and I've got a list of signs you're getting too old.
Oh, okay, good.
But the most impressive thing that Ara Parseghian ever did, was he raised $45 million for a charity he started. He started a charity called the Niemann Pick Foundation. The Niemann Pick disease is a disease that took 3 of his grandchildren. It'd be horrible to lose a kid. It's got to be, you know, horrible to lose a grandkid. He lost 3 of them. He started this Niemann Pick disease, and they raised $45 million in 21 years. $45 million, and he started it when he was 73.
Yeah, it was 1994 when he started it. It was part of the fund was to research a cure for the genetic disorder called, what you just said, Niemann-Pick disease, and which was around his grandchildren. He was known, you know, I knew Ara, the name, and I knew how successful he was, but just reading all the stuff this week, how progressive he was and how he coached differently from the time. He wasn't a screamer and a yeller like Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler at the time. He came at it from a much different angle, and his players loved him, and he had incredible success. And when he took over the Irish, they were a 2-7 football team. So, and again, as you mentioned with Northwestern, he had, you know, incredible success with the Cats. So, a hero, Harry, somebody that had the I just like guys, you know, you have the athletic success, but you also have the world focus. There, it's not just all about sports. Some of us, myself, all we're thinking about is the next tennis match. By the way, by the way, lost today. Tough loss.
No.
Final match in the Shoreline League, Harry.
I'm sorry. How old was the guy who did beat you?
He's about my age. And
I bet you're so upset you couldn't eat.
No, I had a great lunch, actually, afterwards. Went to D'Amato's. It was delicious. And last night, Harry?
Yes.
Bacchanelli over in Pilsen. It's been on Chicago's Best.
I have not been.
The best lasagna I've ever had.
Come on now.
I swear to you. It was
best lasagna ever.
And I love lasagna. I've had a lot of lasagna.
I love lasagna.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It was incredible. Off of 55, you get off of Damon. Went on a little adventure for a little dinner to a Bacchanelli, Harry. Sometimes you gotta do things different. You can't go to the same place every time. You can't go to Herm's Hot Dogs every single day.
I'm a big fan of Herm's. Also Pucci's. A lot of great places. I always liked the same bars. I mean, I always went to Shuba's. I always went to Johnny O'Hagan's. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm a, you know, creature of comfort.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. But some of us just like to branch out, try different things. Tommy Doles, by the way, is in for 6'10".
I'm very excited. Tommy Doles is the reason why you want to talk to college football players. The reason why you want to talk to athletes. Every college kid in America should be like Tommy Doles. But more on that later. And he's, you know, a terrific player. He starts.
Yes, and if you're just joining the show, just recapping the day's events. Cubs beat the Nationals 7-4. They end their three-game losing streak. They're back up to 58-51. A game up right now on the Brewers, who are underway with the Rays, as hopefully the Cubs can start to separate themselves a little bit here. But
yes.
That has not been happening this week as they struggled the last 3 days, even though they've been great games.
Right.
Like they really have been great games, and they were down big to Arizona. They came back, took the lead. Justin Wilson gave it up. That was disappointing. So I even though they have lost, and yesterday they went down again 4-2, they're right there. They're competitive games, long baseball season. I feel like you got to be super comfortable with where the Cubs are at right now. Jay Cutler, strong rumors that he's going to the Miami Dolphins, but those have kind of cooled a little bit here. There's conflicting reports on whether or not Cutler is going to come out of retirement.
ESPN is saying that he's leaning towards staying in the broadcast booth. A guy, Robert Molinar, on Yahoo Sports is reporting that the quarterback Jay Cutler and the football team Miami Dolphins have agreed on a deal that would be 1 year, $13 million, again, Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback of the Dolphins, got hurt the other day. He's going to miss at least 6 to 8 weeks, probably the year. Their backup is Matt Moore, as Al Michaels would say. So they need to get a quarterback. And if they're not going to sign Jay Cutler, if Jay stays in the booth, they got to look at Colin Kaepernick.
Last four starts for Matt Moore, 74 completions and 114 attempts. That's a 65% completion percentage.
Pretty good. And those were the last four games of last season when Tannehill got hurt.
9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Would you like to hear Jay Cutler's last four games?
I would.
65 for 107, completion percentage 5% worse at 60, 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Would you like to hear Ryan Tannehill's stats?
Well, but Cutler's played so many more games than Matt Moore, and I think Cutler, I'm not saying that Cutler deserves to play because of his rep. I've seen them both play football, and I think Cutler's got the much better arm. And if I were the Dolphins, I would rather have Cutler in there as the starter than Moore.
Colin Kaepernick, last four games, 80 for 118. That's a completion percentage of 68.
Nice.
He has thrown six touchdowns, 1 interception.
Is he being blackballed by the owners?
Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
David Jennings in news. We talked about it earlier. Yes,
yes,
David, he is very much being blackballed by the owners.
And the Ravens, they've got the general manager, who happens to be black, Ozzie Newsome, and the head coach, who happens to be white, John Harbaugh. And they both have said, because Joe Flacco's hurt, we want Colin Kaepernick in here as our quarterback. And the owner has publicly said, I'm not sure I want to do that because of what he did last year.
The owner had a fan forum earlier this week with Ravens fans. He asked them to pray for the Ravens as they make their Colin Kaepernick decision. Steve Bisciotti is the owner of Baltimore. He signed Dante Stallworth, who was convicted of manslaughter. He had Ray Lewis on his team, who was convicted of obstruction of justice on 2 murders. He had Ray Rice on his team, who
Ray Rice, who
was
through his
If he
very
if,
so tiny
silent
fiance.
Silent protest involving the American flag is so much worse than anything.
Right. Apparently so. Steve Bisciotti is worth $3.8 billion, but he is worried about sponsorships for his Baltimore Ravens, and he could make a statement, but he's choosing not to. He's choosing to make a statement.
Do you guys think he's worrying too much about nothing?
I do.
I think Colin Kaepernick wanted to start a conversation. And that he did, and it's a subject that, you know, again, he didn't say all police are bad, police are great, but there have been way too many incidents where police have taken the life of a black person where they didn't have to.
Personally, I just think you call the bluff. The people out there that are saying that they're going to stop watching the Ravens or any football team if they sign Colin Kaepernick, I do not believe you. It's proven time and time and time again that football fans are football fans are football fans. They're not going to give up watching their team and their Sundays to protest Colin Kaepernick. I don't believe that.
And David, there's a whole military group of people that support Kaepernick that are not offended by him not standing for the national anthem.
And those who are extremely offended by Kaepernick and think it's wrong, and you're certainly entitled to your opinion, and I believe that if you're in the NFL, you should stand for the anthem or anything else. I think that's very clear. But so for those of you who think that it was wrong, I mean, what should his punishment be? Should it be a lifetime ban from the NFL? I think that's ridiculous.
David, what do you think?
Out of curiosity, I was reading something, and I can't remember the website, but apparently there have been some calls for white NFL stars to speak up and stand up for Colin Kaepernick when there are a number of big name, either current or retired black players who said something to the effect of, you know, Colin, you could be a little bit quieter about this. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what Ray Lewis said at Baltimore. You don't need to put your thoughts out on Twitter. I mean, Kaepernick, if you follow his Twitter feed, he's very outspoken. So he's telling him to keep his mouth shut. It's interesting that a guy like Ray Lewis, again, who was convicted of obstruction of justice and two murders, is giving advice.
Specifically, Ray Lewis ignored the fact he witnessed stabbing. He witnessed two guys getting murdered by stabbing.
And said nothing?
And fled the scene. Took off from the scene.
Okay.
David Jennings with the news here in a second. Do we have a break here? No break. All right, we can go right into it. So Tommy Doles, who's a great talker and a Northwestern Wildcat, and Harry Tynowitz's man crush. Is that fair to say?
I'm so impressed by this guy. He's a wonderful football player, but Northwestern is going to compete for their division this year in the Big Ten, and Tommy Doles is going to be a big part of that offensive line. And I was with him, lucky enough to be with him at a Special Olympics dinner, and this guy is flat out as classy as can be. Northwestern University, proud of someone like Tommy Doles.
Rose Bowl.
Wildcats of Northwestern, Evanston, Illinois.
The Beat on the home of Chicago's Big Ten team, 720 WGN.
Footballs are flying. Camp Kenosha going on. Tommy Doles of your Northwestern Wildcats getting ready to have a huge season for the Cats on the offensive line, which is in a little bit of flux. Fitz is putting it out there that, hey, he wants to step up and take a job. Tommy Doles, I am assuming that you are one of those guys that would like to be starting for your Northwestern Wildcats this year. Thanks for joining us on 720 WGN. How's camp going, Tommy?
It's going well, and thanks for having me. I'm happy to be on the show, but yeah, we're just getting started. You know, we started a little bit later than on the rest of college football due to the quarter system, but team's all on campus, got the gear today, and we're ready to go.
Harry, Mark and I have been talking about having you on since I got to spend time with you that night at the Special Olympics Chicago dinner. I'm so impressed not only by what your football team has done, because I grew up with the Northwestern team that never won a game. You know, 27 losses in a row was horrible.
Tommy doesn't need to hear that.
But I'm saying that Fitz has changed the culture of this team. This team is so much fun to watch, and a big part of it is the you know, the attitude and the character. So what, you know, I want to talk about the football team, but First, I have to acknowledge how you connected with the kids that night. You connected with the adults that night. Special Olympics Chicago was so proud to have you there. Why, you know, I mean, you're exactly what Northwestern wants. Why do you have this sense of, at such a young age, of giving back to the community is important?
Well, thank you for the kind words. And, yeah, that was a great event. I mean, it was inspiring to even be with the Special Olympics athletes. And you were a great host, too. But I think it's a certain culture that Coach Fitz has developed at Northwestern that attracts people who are ready to buy into attitude, investment, character, family in the center. It's just these wholesome, tough, old-school, tried-and-true values. For me, it was sort of the upbringing I had. My high school program, Grand Rapids Christian High School in West Michigan, Coach Don Fellows had our program founded on ACE, which was attitude, effort, with Christ in the center. And those were sort of the values that I came up with. And I think at Northwestern, I'm able to continue that, but also be surrounded by other guys who are chasing after the same things. And that's looking for success on the football field, but wanting to do it the right way. And then the last thing I'll say is that we see ourselves as incredibly privileged to be at a place like Northwestern, able to continue our education at such a high level and also play Big Ten football. So with that, we want to be able to give back because we've been given so much. I was really inspired by Kirk Cousins growing up. He's another West Michigan guy, and he talked about using your platform as a student-athlete to stand for something and to give back. So I think that's what a lot of guys here are trying to do.
Okay. For the team to do well, it's going to start with your quarterback, and I believe he's your roommate. Tell college football fans what Clayton Thorson is in need of doing this year to get the Wildcats to that division title.
Yeah, you're right, Clayton. I mean, he's been my roommate since freshman year. I'll start with my perspective as an offensive lineman is we get to know that all we need to do is do our job, and Clayton's going to take care of the rest because he's got a great arm. He's smart. He makes good decisions, which from what I know about quarterbacks is a pretty big deal. And what I've seen in the last year is him become more of a leader on the offense and on the team. And that's the role we want our quarterback to be in. So I think it's going to be on us, the offensive line, to protect him, to give him time back there. And I have no doubt that he's going to do the rest. He's got great chemistry with this new batch of wide receivers, even though we have a lot of experienced guys coming back with Macon and Flynn. So I'm excited because, as I said, I do my job. We do our job up front, and he's going to do the rest with his great arm, his great decision-making, and his leadership.
Well, speaking of his decision-making, Tommy, I apparently made the decision to get married, which is, you know, yeah. he's only a junior. Now, you said you were his roommate, so how were you in on how he was going to propose to Audrey? What did you know? Were you able to keep a secret? All that type of stuff.
I was. Yeah, he let me in on the secret shortly after Austin Carr's wedding. Austin just got married earlier in the summer, and he let me know that he had made that decision. Audrey, she's one of the nicest girls you'll ever meet, and they've been dating since, I think, their sophomore year of high school. So even though we are only 21 years old, it seems like it's been a long time coming with the two of them. But no, it was exciting. After he proposed, some of us met at his house in Wheaton and got to celebrate with the two of them. And actually, Clayton Thorson's over there jeering me now. But that was an exciting decision, and I'm so happy for the two of them.
That's unbelievable. Married, just for Tommy, I'm 43 and I'm single. So just, you know, it's a 21-year-old getting married in college. Just that seems like, I mean, it's like we just went to Mars or something. But Clayton's always been super mature, and congratulations to him and Audrey, and I appreciate your role in it. So, Harry, yes?
Well, I mean,
you're looking at me like I'm nuts.
I got married in 1999, and I wish Austin and Clayton would have just talked to me. That's all I'm saying. I'm looking at your schedule. You've got some big games this year. You know that schedule changes now. I there's 29 teams in the Big Ten, of course. Now, Tommy, but last year the non-conference games did not go well for you guys. What are you going to do differently to prepare so when the first Saturday happens in September and Dave Ennett's behind the mic on WGN and the Nevada Wolfpack come a-calling.
2:30 kick.
What are you going to do to make sure that we don't have a start like we did last season?
Well, one thing we did last year, I think, which was a mistake, was looking past our non-conference schedule and thinking about some of the bigger Big Ten games coming up. And what we're going to do this year is think about just going 1-0 the first week. And that, when you hear someone say that, it sounds kind of like a robot. Oh, yeah, 1-0, next game, that's all that matters. But I think that's really what it takes to narrow our focus and focus our preparation to be successful in those games. So we've been focusing on Nevada all summer, preparing for them. And during camp, that's what we're getting ready for. We're ready to go 1-0 each week because – a Big Ten season is a grind. It lasts a long time. So it takes a certain level of focus and mental toughness to be able to focus on just this game, 1-0. How are we going to do that this week? So I think it's going to be narrowing our focus and doing our best to prepare just for that first game. We're not overlooking anyone in our schedule.
Tommy Doles, offensive lineman for Northwestern, with us here on 720 WGN. Tommy, I know that you got to go to D.C. this summer, the NU for Life trip. What was that experience like for you, what'd you get out of it?
It was a fantastic experience. I benefited tremendously from the generosity of David Kabiller and other donors to the NU for Life program. Northwestern really sets us up, they say, not just for 5 years, but for 50 years. And for me, that was having the opportunity to visit Washington, D.C. and get a look at what it's like to work in the national security apparatus. So I had some time to visit the Pentagon, the State Department, and the FBI and the intelligence community all in 1 week during our off week in June. And I think one thing that really stood out to me is that the people there in D.C., they could be in Silicon Valley, they could be in Wall Street, they could be in a lot of different places of leadership or using their expertise, but they're in D.C. doing what they do because they believe in that work. And it was pretty inspiring to see that, to see just the noble purposes behind their work. And I think more than just seeing what the future might look like for me, I was able to take away some leadership lessons from meeting with several generals in the Pentagon and just seeing the way that they led their organizations. I think I was able to take some of that back to hopefully the offensive line and the football team here.
Career in politics when you're done with the NFL?
We'll see. I think another thing this trip affirmed is that I would like to serve as an officer in the Army after college.
Wow.
And I just think there's no better place to develop as a leader, to serve others, and just to be a part of something bigger than myself. And it was encouraging because my favorite thing about being a part of the football team is something bigger than myself on a team and doing something that's difficult but rewarding. And I think that's something I'll be able to continue doing after my football career is over, whenever that may be. As for what is two steps ahead, I can't quite say. We'll see what God has in store for me.
Yeah, I got to spend a week with the Marines last year. WGN was out there with Patty Vasquez, who hosts pretty late, 11-2. Anyway, I saw these guys in there. It's just incredibly powerful, what you learn and what they're involved in. So I see you, Tommy. That's super awesome. One of your teammates, by the way, we got an inside scoop here. Tyler Lancaster is going to be wearing the number one. And he was he was honored as the freak for doing 200. He was, what did he do? He benched 225 pounds 35 times. Defensive lineman Tyler Lancaster. So I know that this is a big deal when you get to wear the number one and you guys vote on that. Correct?
That's correct. It's one of the biggest honors in our program. It's just really our way of giving that number one jersey, not to the showiest person or the person who has the biggest ego, but to the person that embodies the values of our program. And I couldn't think of a better person than Tyler Lancaster. He's someone that is so committed to our goals and our mission as a team. He's also a man of high character who wants to do things the right way. He's fun to be around. He cares about the younger guys. And as you know, he's a phenomenal football player. He makes me better every day in practice. Going up against him in a 2-high, that's an experience. He makes me better. And great guy to be around. So I'm so happy for him. And yeah, he'll be rocking the number one jersey this year.
Tell me, you trash talker when you guys go to line up right before Thorson yells hike? Are you talking trash to the guys on the D-line?
Not really me. J.D. Butler might be a guy for that, but he's got a little bit more to say. Yeah, I'm just trying to get the right call, and, you know, I think we're trying to catch our breath. But if someone's talking to me, I egg them on, but I'm not too creative when it comes to trash talk.
You'll obviously do whatever Fitz wants. Any chance that we'll see you at tackle this year? You locked in a guard.
I think we'll see how camp goes, how everyone works. One thing we're working on in camp is the ability to play at multiple positions, partly so that you can understand holistically what our offensive line is trying to do, but also in case someone goes down, like last year, Eric Olson wasn't able to play against Illinois, so I, having had experience at tackle in practice, was able to move over and fill in at right tackle. But, right guard's a position where I've felt the most comfortable and done the best, and I am confident that one of our young guys is going to do well and be able to step up at right tackle.
Well, Joe Madden appreciates the everybody being able to play every position thing. That's a good thing. And Tommy, again, I was not only impressed by your work on the field, but Fitz and everybody in the whole athletic department has to be impressed with the type of person that you are. I know that the Special Olympics Chicago was really, really happy with you showing up and being so sincere and genuine. Maybe at some point you'll get to come down and Carm and I will show you around the studio. But thanks a ton for giving us time. And remember, just start out 1-0. Don't worry about the second week, Tommy. Just focus on Nevada.
All right. Thanks, Harry. I appreciate that.
You got it. I'll come and talk to the team. I'll talk to you about like why Starburst are important to the training camp diet.
Tommy, appreciate the time. Good luck this year. Have a ton of fun.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Tommy Doles, Northwestern offensive lineman, with us here on 720 WGN. Look at you coaching Tommy Doles, 1-0. He doesn't need that from you.
I stole it. That's what they're going with.
I know.
Last year started out bad. Last year was shockingly bad. It was surprisingly bad. And you can't have a start like that this year.
You don't think that Tommy knows that? Now you're putting more pressure on Tommy. He doesn't need Harry's your concerns on Tommy's shoulders.
If we have a Northwestern guest on, and that just happened, we got to ask him why that happened, why that won't happen again this season.
Dan, was Harry wrong to put pressure on Tommy Doles? Verdict. Extremely uncomfortable Dan Long right now.
Dan, he's got to face a little more pressure, come kickoff time, come first down time, than he is listening to me.
Tommy, you guys lost to Western Michigan last year. P.J. Fleck, you let Northern Illinois come into Ryan Field and whip your behind all over the old...
And it didn't stop there.
Yeah, so, Tommy, I can't have that again. Sincerely, Harry. Did you hear it like that, Dan?
Hey, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, honesty on the air.
That's true, but,
are the Cats going to be under pressure to have a good start this season? I think they are.
I think we can blame, if they do have a bad start, I'm blaming Harry Tynowitz.
That's fine. Not the first time I've been blamed for something. Won't be the last time I've been blamed for something.
No, I'm obviously kidding. Tommy can handle your questions.
It's all right.
That was very... inspiring. He wants to go into the army after football.
I'm telling you, dude, meet him. I've talked to Tom. He's a guy that, like, you go, wow, that's what Northwestern does with their student athletes.
I've interviewed Tommy for pregame, And, you know, his father was in media, so he's been around media his whole life.
Right.
And
very, very respectful.
Incredibly respectful. The essence of Northwestern. It was great to have him on.
It's really
and
cool.
It was Harry Tynowitz's idea.
Well, it was a very good idea. No, it was he's worth meeting. You know, he's worth meeting, so I wanted to present, thought it'd be fun to present him to, you know, Chicago.
Quick Lollapalooza coming right up.
Yes, sir.
720 WGN. Is Run the Jewels, one of the great bands at Lollapalooza. I was listening to Steve Cochran earlier this week. He was talking about, is this a band at Lollapalooza? Is this a Steve Cochran band? Or is this not a band? What was that one called? Run the Jewels?
Run the Jewels.
One of the great bands of all time, Run the Jewels.
I've run two Jewel.
Me too.
Never run the Jewels, but I'm at that point now where you know, I love my neighborhood, and I'm at that point now where my friends, you know, kids are going, and I've got friends that ask me, because like at the radio station, there's, you don't realize there's an age difference until you start talking about music or until you start talking about TV shows.
Right. Dan Long loves Run the Jewels. And then you find out that Dan Long is younger than us and we're old.
Right. But when we talk about the Cubs and Rizzo and Bryant and Wilson Contreras,
we're all in.
We're all in. There's no like age difference. So
Run the Jewels, their next big hit, Run with a Cup.
David Jennings, the news.
So, Dave, do you consider yourself, you know, like Lollapalooza?
Definitely not.
Okay, so I'm at that point now where I feel like I'm too old to go to Lollapalooza. And a friend asked me, "How can you tell you're too old?" So what I have here are signs.
Signs that you're too
signs
old for Lollapalooza.
Too old to be at Lollapalooza. Okay, if you find out what time the show starts by checking the newspaper, you're too old for Lolla.
No doubt, that's very true.
If you wish the crowd would settle down so everyone could just enjoy the music, you're too old.
You're way too old.
Right, okay. If the large police presence actually gives you a feeling of security...
Oh, you're definitely way too old.
Remember that point when like you'd be at a concert or you'd be somewhere like, oh, man, there's cops. Cool it. Now you're like, oh, there's
Thank
cops.
Goodness, yes.
Right. Okay, you might be too old for Lollapalooza if you're worried about the bass player standing too close to the edge of the stage. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, if your age is higher than your sunscreen level, you're too old for Lollapalooza.
If you stop to buy earplugs before going to Lollapalooza,
right,
you're too old for Lollapalooza.
Right. Other than Arcade Fire, if the only band you recognize after 3 days is the 3-day wristband, you're too old for Lolla.
There are... I'm trying to think of things that I would rather do than Lollapalooza, and the list is basically everything. I have zero negative interest in going, and maybe I should be more curious about what it's all about, but I just, you hear about people ending up in the hospital, the bands that I've never heard of, they're there all day long, it costs a ton of money.
And the stories of people who go to Lollapalooza and leave high, even if they didn't consume any narcotics.
Right. I mean, just zero.
Here you go. You remember a time, if you remember a time when music from the cloud meant you were at a Grateful Dead concert, you might be too old for Lolla.
Okay. Oh, Harry.
I'm just saying.
That was good. That was a good one.
Okay. Well, if you own music that you didn't download.
I went into some old school record store, bought some old CDs last week, and I'm like, this is a really, really old move by me. But I don't know, it was like, you know, Simon and Garfunkel, it was like $2. Why wouldn't I want to have that CD?
Right. If you're only there so you can tell people that you saw Lord, you're too old for Lolla. And finally, Dave, if you can remember the first Lollapalooza, you're too old for Lollapalooza.
What was the first year for Lolla?
I believe it was like, Dan Long will know this.
Yeah, I think it was 94, I want to say.
I think we're at 25 years right now, right?
Is it a sign that you're too old if you wish the audience would stop singing so you can hear the person you came to sing?
Yes.
Came to see
most
sing?
Definitely.
Yes, yes. Because, I mean, come on, you're at a concert. People should be allowed to sing.
312-981-7200. If you want to defend Lollapalooza, I'd love to hear it.
Well, I'm not. I think Lollapalooza is awesome. I'm just saying I'm past Lollapaloozing it.
When's the last time you went to Lollapalooza?
When I was partying.
Okay.
A long time ago.
So I've never been.
Never been?
I've been here since 97. I have never been to Lollapalooza.
I've never been to Lollapalooza. Maybe I shouldn't speak because I've never been. Maybe it's a lot better than I think it is, but it just looks like torture.
Dave, have you been to are you more the Ravinia type?
I am.
I probably would be.
Have you been to Ravinia?
I've never been to Ravinia either.
Ravinia is a beautiful.
You're missing out. You got to go up to Ravinia. What about, have you been to Wrigley Field for a concert?
Been to a game. Never been to a concert.
Dude, you got to go to Billy Joel's there Friday. You got to go. There's so many great people coming. Lady Gaga's coming.
I wouldn't mind going to see Lady Gaga, actually.
You should expense that.
By the way, that's
Mark, did you hear what he just said? Expense it?
Yeah. No, I was
Stephanie will clear that.
I was speechless. What's up, Dan Long?
Just because I don't like being wrong on the air. It started in 91. It was 91 to 97. Little break, 2003 to the present.
I see.
Thank you.
91 to 97. Who could ever forget?
I'm comfortable being wrong on the air.
When I think about 1991, I think about the Bulls, and I think about Jordan, and I think about the first title.
Of course.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Been drinking a vanilla latte all show long. Mark Harmon, Harry Tynowitz here on 720 WGN. Patrick Finley covers the Bears for the Sun-Times. Do a little quick Bears hit today as they had their family fun out at Soldier Field. If you have missed the Michael Jordan camp video, which is available to anybody who uses the internet, there was some great stuff in there, Harry. Number one, a kid asked him, what do you get at Starbucks? He said, a vanilla latte. So I, right before the show today, went to Starbucks, and I'm holding this vanilla latte in MJ spirit. Really enjoying it. Thank you, Michael. They asked him, I think you've seen my Twitter, they asked him, who's the toughest guy you ever had to guard? No hesitation, he went Isaiah Thomas. I thought that was an incredible compliment for Isaiah. You know, those guys battled, and Michael had a major play in him not being on the Olympic team back in the day. So I thought that was interesting that he just, like, there's like a respect for Isaiah that he has and his skills that I've never heard him talk about. That was in there.
Isaiah walked off the court.
Right.
That's what I remember. And Isaiah Thomas at Indiana was like the greatest fast-breaking guard I've ever seen. And he led the Pistons, you know, to NBA dominance. But Isaiah Thomas, after the Bulls, mind you, congratulated them every time they would end the Bulls season. Isaiah Thomas led the charge off the floor when the Bulls swept the sorry Pistons' butts in 91.
He was an incredible player, though.
He set the Knicks back as a franchise. He killed the CBA.
Off the court, he's a complete disaster. But on the court, I don't think there's a player that I ever feared more than Isaiah, at least growing up. Bulls.
Ooh, that's a great question.
I mean, he would hit ridiculous three-point shots to send games into overtime. He was clutch all the time. He was an incredible competitor.
That team was so good and so well coached. Chuck Daly, great coach.
I mean, I hated him with the Jordan rule, extreme passion, but I just thought that was interesting. They jumped on Isaiah. Let's bring in Patrick Finley, who's covering the Chicago Bears for your Sun-Times out at Soldier Field today, a little family day. Patrick, thank you for taking time for us, my friend. What news do you have to report on the gathering today? Anything that Bears fans should know as they go into their Saturday night?
Well, certainly nothing Isaiah Thomas related. I can tell you that.
Awesome.
No, there are two things that matter. Number one, the quarterbacks look pretty good. Number two, nobody got hurt. The nobody got hurt part, big picture, is very notable given that last year the Bears lost Jonas Gristau to a torn ACL. When he was just running on the turf without being touched. Today, there was Rashad Reynolds. He's a back-of-the-roster corner. He appeared to hurt his knee a little bit. Beyond that, no disasters, no injuries. That is an upgrade from this day last year.
What are guys saying about Jay Cutler going to the Dolphins?
We talked to Kyle Long about it yesterday and Dal Loggins, and you know I think they shared the same sentiment, which is if Jay wants to do this, they believe he can do it and do it well. I think that there is that clause of the if he wants to do it that makes it pretty compelling. Personally, I just think it's interesting. You know, you think about Jay's legacy, and you know this Dolphins team could be pretty good if he joined them and if he was okay. But does that do anything to change the perception of Cutler league-wide?
No.
I don't think it does. I mean, even if he makes the playoffs and loses in the first round, that's not a game-changer there. You know, personally, you know, I think Jay's a really bright guy, you know, notwithstanding how he acts in public sometimes. And I would like to see his brain not get rattled around for another season, personally. But I understand how, at this time of year, every competitor probably wishes they were out on the field, Jay included.
Patrick, on the defensive side of the football, can you tell me why last year's first-round pick, Leonard Floyd, is going to be so much better this year?
Because he knows what to expect. You know, there's all, you know, coaches always say this, you know, the biggest jump you make is between your first and second year. He's had a full year in the training program. He knows what it's like to work, which is something that I'm not sure we could have said about him at this time last year. They've taught him to tackle so he doesn't hurt his head, which is a pretty important thing in the game of tackle football. I just think that his explosion and his straightforward speed are things that you don't see in most players around the league. And, you know, I think if we were making bets today, he would be my bet for the Pro Bowl more than anybody else they have on the team, including Josh Sitton and Kyle Long and those guys who, you know, are – perennial Pro Bowlers.
Well, I like that. We're having a good season if he makes the Pro Bowl. All right, safety. You know, I'm a lifelong Bears fan, so I always like the unknown. I always like the backup. I always like the rookie. I want Eddie Jackson, the rookie from Bama, to start at safety so much more than Adrian Amos. What do you think happens there?
I don't know whether that can happen before the season starts. I understand why you'd think that way. Amos has started 30 games as a Bear. He's never had an interception. That is not good.
Carm, you have as many interceptions as Amos.
Thank you. I'm amazing.
Yeah, the old saying, yeah, he has as many interceptions as a dead man at this point. you know, Eddie Jackson is really fun with the ball in his hand. And what they're worried about is if he can tackle. And you know, I know that sounds silly, but you know, this is a guy who needs to learn how to play physically in the NFL. You know, Nick Saban, where he came from, Nick Saban's one hell of a defensive backs coach, but I think that everybody on the Bears thinks that he needs to learn how to kind of put his nose in there a little bit more. If he can do that, Lord knows he has the, whatever that it is that can get a takeaway, he does have some of that in him, and I think Adrian Amos has proven over a body of work that he does not.
Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times with us here, 720 WGN, a little quick Bears talk. Kevin White got mad at the media this week. Why are you annoying Kevin White with your with your questions, Patrick Finley? And it seemed like his coaches were trying to back him up, but he got a little offended by the way I was hearing it as far as his confidence level or lack thereof.
Here's why he was offended. He saw a Pro Football Talk aggregation of a story that was done in Chicago, which is Pro Football Talk put a snarky headline on a story that was not snarky, or on a link that was not a snarky story. So because of that, you know, he took it to mean that we were all kind of saying bad things or writing bad things about him, which is not the case. I will tell you this. When we met with his new receivers coach, who's a college guy, a rah-rah guy, a good talker, you know, very passionate about what he does. One of the things that the new receivers coach said was, you know, Kevin reads his own press clippings. This is bad. We need to get him to not worry about what people are writing and saying about him. And then Kevin, 2 days later, goes out and proves him right by deciding to pout over something that he read online. So, you know, I wonder whether Kevin's a little bit bored. I wonder whether Kevin will be reading everything about him if he's out there playing 16 games this year. I would hope he would not. But this is a guy who cares very much about the game, cares about the way he's perceived. And because of that, you know, he reads his own press clippings and decides to pout about them.
Patrick, I confess, I watched a big chunk of the Hall of Fame game with the Cardinals and the Cowboys.
No. You and a ton of people. The ratings were huge.
Wouldn't that be a much more entertaining game if they allowed the Hall of Famers going in to participate?
I think they have a couple of pending lawsuits by guys who probably would not be able to put a helmet on and play again. No, maybe that'd be fun. I mean, maybe you get one series where Kurt Warner actually gets to play quarterback,
right,
something like that. I'm just proud that their field is actually a playable field this year. That is a good upgrade from the last couple of years.
Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times. Last one for me. Who's stood out to you as far as training camp's gone so far that maybe Bears fans are not thinking about, somebody they could be excited about? Is there anyone?
You know, we joke that Tariq Cohen is this year's Daniel Braverman, but I think Cohen's got a little more there today in live drills. You know, is kind of the most hitting they've done this year. He put his nose in there and took a little bit of punishment. That's good to see. The kid is 5'6". He's the fastest guy on the field. When you go watch practice, you fall in love with him immediately because he's little and he's fast. But we need to see what he can do when people can hit him on a dead run. And that's something I don't think you're going to see until the preseason starts. And that is a rare reason to be excited about the start of preseason games here on Thursday.
That's exactly right. This Thursday, Bears and the Broncos.
I can't believe it.
The preseason gets underway. 7 o'clock kickoff, Soldier Field. Looking right now, tickets available for $12 if you want to go see some preseason football. This is
Look, I love the Bears, but as a former season ticket holder, there's something wrong with you have to buy the preseason tickets and that they cost the same as the regular season.
Well, they made them cheaper now. They don't.
They're now half price. They're now half price of the regular season ticket, but that's still too much, by double.
Right, yeah. You still have to buy them. If you want season tickets, you still have to pay for them, right?
That's what right. Patrick, we miss you. We love you. Thanks for jumping on.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thank you.
Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times. Does a great job.
Informative and entertaining.
I always enjoy a Patrick Finley. Hey, quick timeout. We have a fun potpourri to wrap up the show, from an O.J. Simpson situation to a one more little Michael Jordan tidbit to a...
to a brilliant young lady jumping out of an aeroplane.
Oh, my God. So much to do, so little time. 720 WGN. WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. Wrapping up the show. Amy Guth coming up, who's going to be jumping out of a plane this week.
She crazy.
She is a wild woman.
Okay, potpourri here.
Potpourri. Where would you like to start, Harry?
Pete Rose is a dirtbag. I have long since defended Pete Rose. Gambling. I'm sorry. If you're from America, you gamble. Okay? It's ridiculous he's not in the Hall of Fame. But news breaks this week that he was having an affair while he was playing with a 16-year-old girl. In fact, the news broke that she was younger than 16, and Rose's defense was, hey, she was 16. Give me a break. He was married and had kids at the time that he was having a long-standing affair with this 16-year-old girl from Cincinnati. Just disgusting. And I thought that he was really good with the Fox baseball postgame coverage. He should be nowhere near any ballpark postgame coverage. The Phillies canceled his induction into the Wall of Fame. They're not giving away his bobblehead. And, man, Pete Rose, what a dirtbag.
Yeah, it is not going to end well for Pete Rose, who somehow, some way has stayed in the limelight, but I think this is the end.
They should change the name of the street. Stadium on Pete Rose Drive?
Pete Rose Way,
yeah, Way, yeah. Right. They should change the name of that street. American Ballpark is on.
Right. Well, then maybe they will, because there's no way that Fox can have him on set anymore. That's got to be over. And the Phillies thing, I mean, they had to. What are you going to do? Honor the guy? Hey, right. Way to go, Pete.
When A-Rod is more honorable than you, you should not be on the set.
Right, he's making A-Rod look like a saint.
A-Rod was great. A-Rod was great on those broadcasts. And Frank, of course, Hurt.
I still don't really like watching A-Rod, even though he is very...
He was so well prepared. He did his homework. I mean, he didn't just show up and, hey, I'm a great guy. I'm a great athlete. I'm a great baseball player. A-Rod knew his details.
You ever interviewed Alex Rodriguez after a game?
No, I've never got A-Rod, but I've had, you know, I've talked with him on the field. Ed Fermer.
He's great at putting on the old facade, A-Rod. He's phenomenal at it. Like maybe one of the best of all time. Mm-hmm. The way he looks, the way he sounds, the way he does everything to make himself look good. When behind the scenes, it's all. I think just we got another story going on. How about O.J. Simpson in our potpourri here, Harry?
O.J.'s white Bronco is going to be on Pawn Stars. You can buy it. The guy who was O.J.'s agent at the time of what should have been O.J.'s first arrest, he's owned this white Bronco ever since. And that night, everybody stopped watching what they were doing. Everybody stopped watching the playoff game, and everybody watched the Los Angeles Police Department chase O.J. and Al Cowings in the white Bronco. That white Bronco is now for sale.
They're calling the show if the pawn don't fit.
That's awesome.
It's August 14th, 10 o'clock on the History Channel.
That's awesome.
Listen to this quote from Pawn Star personality Rick Harrison. Not many people realize it's for sale. This is the Bronco. And I just thought it was a really cool thing to put on the show. I never glorify gangsters or murderers on the show. And I think OJ is a... He uses a naughty word here that I'm not going to use.
Good.
Thank you. Who did some really bad things. I'm a dad with 6 kids, and I'm trying to teach each of them a little bit of morality. But I felt like it would be good for the show, and I figured I'd give it a shot. I mean, are you kidding? like you went down this whole laundry list saying, like, I don't do things that that lack morality, but it'll be good for the show, so we're doing it.
How has this agent held on to it for so long? I mean, there have been so many times when OJ's name has popped up in the news. Obviously, he's in the news again, getting paroled. But
can you really see anybody shelling out any serious cash for the Bronco?
I think so.
Dave, they're going to turn around and they're going to sell it. They're not buying it to have forever, right? They're going to show their friends, look what I bought, and then one day they'll sell it.
I don't see it. Maybe I'm just weird that way, but I don't see the value in it.
They bought the Bronco, David, for $75,000, and it sat for a decade.
What do they expect? Do they say what they expect it to go for?
I don't see
gobs and gobs.
It's going to be
all it takes is one guy,
right? I own the Bronco. I think it'll go well into 6 figures. We'll see. People have a lot of money.
Now, Dave, you could not expense that, but you could expense 2 tickets to Lady Gaga, and I'm sure.
I doubt it highly. Really.
Look,
I don't see it happening.
Dave Ennett's a sports director. It's taking place at Wrigley Field. Sport, hello.
No.
Moving along in our potpourri, let me bring in one more Michael Jordan comment from his camp. I know it. Uh-huh. I know it. It pains you, Harry.
I love Michael. It doesn't pain me at all. Tennis stories pain me.
Michael Jordan with the short-sighted comment of the week. When he said that he'll take Kobe over LeBron because 5 rings are greater than 3. Mike, come on, man. Bill Russell's got 11. He's not better than you. Robert Horry has 7. He's not better than your 6.
Big shot, Bob.
Kobe Bryant played more like you and isn't currently playing and his career is over, so you feel comfortable with his 5. But if there wasn't the Golden State Warriors out there right now, LeBron James would be getting to 6 and more, just for the record. Now, that's not going to happen, but if something wonky happens with Golden State or if LeBron's able to create some super team in L.A. next year, he might pass you, and then your argument is defeated. And by the way, I don't care if LeBron wins 10 titles. You're still the better basketball player. What are you doing?
It kind of feels like this is coming from Jordan wanting to end the argument that LeBron is better than he is by putting another guy in there saying, well, LeBron's not even second best. Kobe's second best. That's what it kind of feels like to me.
There's something personal with him and MJ, clearly.
Doesn't LeBron wear 23 because of MJ?
Right.
But okay, that's about as big a tribute as you get.
But there's a disconnect. Remember that dunk where James...
Yes, yes.
They're not tight, those two. LeBron's coming for him. He wants to be... And Mike is... going to defend his crown.
All right. The New England Patriots sent out playoff tickets already. They sent out their playoff tickets. They haven't even played their first of four preseason games, and they sent out their playoff tickets, and I love it.
You do like it.
Because they're the New England Patriots. They were down 25, and they won the Super Bowl. Tom Brady is 40, and he's still the best quarterback in the league, and the guy up there is number two in Wisconsin, but they're the greatest.
When you're in a division with the Dolphins and the Jets and
the
Bills every single year, you could send out your playoff tickets on August, whatever.
Yeah. Also, the last thing I have for potpourri is in England, they're all up in arms because it came out this week that Queen Elizabeth, who's 2 years older than God, drinks four drinks a day, drinks four glasses of alcohol a day. She has three drinks during the day, and then at bedtime, she has a glass of champagne. And England is like, oh, my God, can you believe it? The Queen drinks four drinks a day.
Hey,
when I was in rehab, there was this guy, Ethan, and he was a queen who drank like eight drinks a day.
What happened to Ethan?
He's cool. He's straight now.
Go, Ethan.
Good buddy of mine.
The one thing we didn't mention on the
show. I mean, when I say straight now, I mean he's sober now, I should say.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Right, of course. The one thing we didn't mention on the show today that I will talk about tomorrow. Do you know what we didn't mention on the show today? I thought the biggest news of the week. Anybody? Bueller? Steve Bartman got his World Series ring.
Too bad I won't be here. I wish I could be here tomorrow, but I won't be here to discuss Bartman.
You're not a Bartman guy, are you, Harry?
I was there. I was at the game.
So was I. Did you boo him?
Only the Cubs could lose. Thank God they won last year because the Bartman thing doesn't sting as much. And I'm shallow. I'll admit I'm shallow. Very cool of the Ricketts family of the Cubs to give Bartman this ring, but, you know, come on. I know guys that have been season ticket holders for a lot longer than I've been season ticket holder that have suffered, and, you know, they get a ring over Bartman. Bartman stuck his hand out, interfered with Alou. Alex Gonzalez wouldn't have had to have rushed the ground ball for a double play. He could have just thrown to first base. It is really...
You're the last Bartman hater standing.
I'm not a hater.
What would you call it? It's okay.
I'm not an appreciator.
Right. You're the last not appreciator. I was conflicted when I saw it. They're giving him a ring. I was just kind of hoping that we would stop talking about him. Of course, I'm bringing it up now. I'm a huge hypocrite. But it's in the news, which is why I was kind of surprised that he accepted the ring. Because you know your name is back in the news again. And people are going to start talking about it.
But he said, to Bartman's credit, he has handled it. I can't imagine what it's like going through what he's gone through. To Bartman's credit, since that night, he has behaved tremendously.
Yes, he's been invisible.
Right, and which is hard. And he's been offered mega bucks, Dave.
Most people would have cashed in.
He has made a decision. It's like, you know what? I know what it feels like to be in the spotlight. Not for me. No, thank you.
I would have cashed in.
100%. Again, I'm shallow.
Right. Me too. Completely shallow. Own it all day long. I would have taken all the fame. I would have taken all the apologies. And I would have gotten as rich as I possibly could have gotten.